PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
This is a top to you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Who do the shit that I do?
Alrighty then, hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode 283 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio. I have your threat update. Current threat level is teal. Current threat level color is teal. Redirect your parents. That is correct. Welcome. It is another episode of Cinema Crespediso. We are doing this thing. The summer movie season is underway, and Drewster Cogburn and I saw a bevy of summer blockbusters today. Gigantic movies that we're excited to talk to you about. Oh my goodness, I already said his name, Drewster Cogburn!
Chris! I just randomly clicked on the A24.
Yes, thing, A24.
And I'm looking at the 62 movies that they've put out.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit, Darb, like most of them, some of my favorite movies.
A24 has an incredible track record.
It is ridiculous, Chris.
Yes, so
it really is.
And we saw two of their movies this weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Two A24 blockbusters. Summer block. Every movie that comes out during summer is a blockbuster, right?
Yes, that's the way it works. It doesn't matter how much money it makes or who's in it.
Or how big or small it is.
If it comes out during the summer, it is a blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Video store.
Your block has been busted. Like, you've been boshed. That's my new thing now. I'm watching Bosch, and whenever Bosch does something, I go, you've been boshed.
I've never...
You haven't watched it yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just cheesy enough for you to watch it. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Is there like a voiceover guy that says that? Like dubstep style where it's all of a sudden based on, boom, you've been boshed.
You've been boshed. No, it's in my head. It's my thing. I do it while sitting on my couch watching it. And then when Bosch looks himself in the mirror, and then like he's mad at himself or he says something to himself, then I go, oh shit, Bosch just got boshed. Like that.
A double boshing?
It's a double boshing. Yeah, it's a double boshing. It's a very corny show. You got to watch it. Ladies and gentlemen, with us, I believe it is his third time on the show, the host of the Daily City podcast, as well as the editor of thedailycity.com, the longest running Orlando blog in existence. Get used to it, ladies and gentlemen. Good friend of the show. We love this guy. It is Mark Baratelli. Yeah, Mark.
Hey.
How's it going, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. Good to see you. It's working with Nana. Look, she's getting on the pillow.
Yeah.
We have my mom's dog is hanging out with us in the studio. So if you hear the sound of a like sounds like tiny men with sticks walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
Or like a cockroach tap dancing.
Like
hello my baby, hello my honey.
That would be Nena making her PFT Media debut on Cinema Crespediso. So she's not going to bark or anything. So that's the best we're going to get. Unless, I don't know, unless maybe the doorbell rings or something. Then she'll have a good freak out.
Mm-hmm. Freaked out when I got here.
She did? Did she? Not at all. No, she freaked out when Mark got here.
Well, you know, I wouldn't call it a freak out. It just sounds like a normal dog.
Yes.
And I think that you're just not used to it.
And it's a normal... It's she's a in a new dog. Place, yeah. And then she hears a knock or a doorbell.
But yeah, I feel like any dog would... Probably every dog that is in existence, when the doorbell rings, they bark.
They bark because they're like, what's going on? This is my home. I'm here to protect these people.
Yeah. Well, what tiny little happening? Spazoids.
But then that's the thing. You open a door, there's Mark, and then Nana immediately is like, oh, hey, how's it going? And she's very sweet, and she's just sniffing you, and oh, this dog isn't trying to protect us. She just wants to know what's going on. She's just curious.
Oh.
I think that's what's going on.
Well, I think she's protecting you by telling you that someone's here.
Yes.
She's not trying to say it's a friend or foe. She's not trying to give you any detailed information. She's just saying something is amiss.
She's like one of these hear it? Like alarm monitoring systems where they're like, hey, someone's breaking into your house. Now, we're not doing anything. We're just letting
There's
you know.
There's no camera. You may want to call the cops. The police.
Yeah, you may want to do it. It's just a heads up.
Yeah, that's because you got the cheap plan.
Exactly. We got the cheap Bichon Frise. not cheap. Not cheap. But awesome. Great dog. We love her. You got it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chris and Drew. Talk about their pets with guests. This is our first episode. I'm hanging out with my mom's Bichon Frise. Drew has a cat. What do you got, Mark?
I have two cats. One's named Biscuit and one is named Chapstick.
Aww. Yeah. What are they? Tabby's house cats? How can we classify? Do we even know?
Biscuit is a tuxedo.
Oh, that's a thing.
You don't talk.
I guess I can immediately picture black with
that's
white
what they call
accent.
Them,
yeah,
the cat ladies on Instagram call. And then the Chopstick is just a mutt.
A mutt cat.
Yeah, sure. But he's one of those cats that when you get him as a tiny baby kitten, you're like, oh, how tiny, and then they grow into miniature lions.
Big ass cat. Yeah.
He's like a football player.
That's
he's
awesome.
So huge. He's probably 15 pounds.
You ever catch? Is this Chopstick we're talking about?
Biscuit. No, I'm sorry.
The
Chopstick.
Big one, Chopstick. You ever catch Chopstick staring at you like,
I'm going to eat your face.
Like, I could take this one. I could do this. Plotting your demise for dinner.
Yeah, usually right when I wake up.
Yes.
He's in the corner.
Just staring at you.
Near the fan.
One of your most vulnerable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. These cats are predators. If they were large enough, they would eat us.
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
I think they know that in the back of their mind.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think they do too.
We trust you, but watch out. Well, like it's like the dad with the hand about to smack you.
Exactly. But they sound like cute cats. So actually, I've seen them on Instagram. They are cute. They should have their own Instagram accounts. They do that now.
They do.
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying they should?
Yeah, you should make up a Chopstick and a Biscuit. Or just a combined. One combined account for the both
so
of them.
So they do. They have one. It's Chopstick and Biscuit on Instagram.
There we go. Guys, follow them on Instagram to see the cute hashtag cats of Instagram. Is that throw those
that's
out
an
there.
Account
that's how you get those followers
no but
too.
Just Chopstick and Biscuit.
Drew, what's up with the shithead? What's your cat's name?
Cat.
Yeah, Cat. I called cats
whatever.
Drew's
cat,
cats.
I mean, her legal name is Layla at the veterinarian's office and whatnot, but it's
legal
just,
name with the county with the government.
Yeah, it's just Cat. Stupid moron. Hey you.
So how's Hey You doing?
She's doing all right. She's fat, lazy. That's the way I like it.
Family.
Does she eat dry food or cat food? Or dry food or wet food?
Dry food.
Only. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the bet. Like, wet food is a mess.
It's a mess and it's expensive.
And it's expensive.
And she's a cat and does not deserve it.
Yeah. She probably, even if you gave it to her, she'll eat it. But if you took it away, she'd probably just be fine.
Yeah. She'd probably be a lot mouthier if I took it away.
Does your cat meow?
Oh, she's a talker.
Whoa, okay, I've been very lucky.
Oh, you have no idea.
My cats are silent.
Lucky.
Yeah, really?
Very lucky.
Wow. When I was growing up, my mom had cats, like three or four different ones, and they were not talkers at all. And actually, she was not a talker very much until her brother escaped and went away. And then just started freaking out.
It's not bad, Mark. Poor baby. The brother went to go ride the rails. Yeah. He's got a bindle stick and a bandana. And he's telling stories of, you know, of escaping the alligators and stuff in Florida. And he's still alive.
I hope he's telling everybody the tale of that two-year-old who got mauled by the Disney alligator.
I hope so, too.
Never forget.
Yeah, seriously.
That story has to make it through the cat hobo trail somehow.
I mean, yeah.
It has to somehow. That cat hobo trail is where all the news gets from point A to point Z in America. How else are the cat hobos going to know what's going on? Mm-hmm.
Do you think cat hobos stage rescues like of cat? Like they can hear or sense cats in trouble, kind of like 101 Dalmatians.
What, like a super cat?
No, just a cat. Cats have ears and they sense, you know, danger, and they go in and they'll, you know, unlock a porch door to let a cat out.
A spider sense that.
I mean, I don't know. I think most cats are fairly solitary. I mean, especially in the wild.
Except for the hobo cats, who they work together to maintain the hobo cat trail.
But you see, they are solitary, and they're kind of like, F you. Mm-hmm. But do you ever see those videos where, like a mom, or like a female cat will find a bunch of babies, and then she'll start lactating? They're not even her babies.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I think that thing of taking care of other cats is there.
But it also happens between interspecies. You've seen, like,
cats dolphins nursing off.
Yes. Nursing
yes,
who?
And.
Yes,
yeah.
And. Dolphins nursing off.
Dolphins nursing off.
Nursing off, yeah. That's where they go.
Yeah, they rub themselves.
Yeah, and it goes, because it's underwater. So
nursing off.
Yeah. I think that's a SeaWorld attraction.
It is 2019, yeah.
You can pet the barracuda.
Barracuda petting.
Is that what they're called? Those black things that are flat? Are those barracudas?
No, those are
barracudas are long and very silver.
Yeah.
Very silver.
Manta rays?
Manta rays?
Is that what they are?
Stingrays.
Stingrays. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones. Barracuda will bite your face off.
Mm-hmm. Shiny stuff. Like, if you go snorkeling in the Caribbean where there's a lot of barracuda, you're not supposed to wear jewelry because they're attracted to shiny things.
They'll go for that.
Oh, and they got very sharp teeth.
So at SeaWorld 2019, they will be opening the piranha and barracuda petting tank for the kids, and it will be right next to the other thing we're talking about.
The gift shop. Yeah. Right next to the gift shop.
Right next to the dolphin nursing
office. Can go get their nice, shiny things
jewelry.
And then go pet the barracuda. Yes.
Yeah.
If I was given a stick, mm-hmm. I would be interested in dipping it into the water and having the bear, what do they call the piranha?
Yeah.
Jump up and down and kind of
make the
stirring
make
the
water go
soup.
Make it go crazy. Mm-hmm. That would be a fun exhibit.
Just throw a little bit of raw meat in there.
Yeah, you should. You know how you go to like Gator World and they sell you the little pellets to throw at the ducks or whatever. I don't know why they do that. You should be able to go to a machine, put in a quarter, you turn it, and then little hunks of meat fall out into your hands.
Yeah, raw uncooked chicken nuggets.
Yes, exactly. And then you can throw them into the water and watch
the
piranha
and
go crazy.
The thing that you put the quarter in is blood is slowly dripping out of where the object comes from. It's just covered in blood.
It's not maintained well at all. No.
And there's like
SeaWorld
one little hand pump to wash your hands, but it doesn't
do
anything.
And it's covered in blood.
Yeah. Everyone's hands in the park are pink.
Yeah. It sounds like a great idea.
I got pink hands.
We should start this. All right, well, that was the end of the first episode of Chris and Drew Talk About Their Pets with Guests. I think that's going to be a good podcast. I'm looking forward to revisiting that one in the future. Yeah, that's going to be great.
No,
yeah,
I disagree.
I think it's going to be a Patreon only. People are going to want to pay us for that.
I'm your first subscriber.
Yeah! We got one!
Worst idea.
It'll be $22 a month.
History of bad. This is almost as bad as an idea as that fucking Jared Leto Joker movie.
Chris. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit in the second half of the show. I can't remember. I got to look at my notes. But first, before we do any of that, let's go ahead and start the actual show, Cinema Crespedito, with the streaming pick of the week.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema
Crespedito
streaming!
That's right, it's your Cinema Crespedito streaming
pick of the week!
And we are going to let you know, instead of wasting all that time flipping through the Hulu library, shout out to Swervy Jones for hooking up with that Hulu password. Should I not say that out loud? Amazon Prime, et cetera, et cetera. Netflix. How's that Netflix account doing for you, Drewster?
No, it works out well.
Yeah, no. See how these things, we pay it forward.
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
I mean, you're on my Amazon, so what?
Actually, no, I got my own Amazon.
I got your own Amazon now?
I got my own now. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, Mark, go ahead and let us know what is this week's streaming pick of the week.
The Bourne Ultimatum on Netflix.
All right. I'll give it one of these. But just that much, The Bourne Ultimatum is the third of the Jason Bourne movies. They improbably have made five of these things. Four with Jason Bourne, one with Jeremy Renner. Rumors that you know how they shut down the Terminator ride over at Universal Studios?
Uh-huh.
The Bourne theme, the Bourne franchise is like a front runner to be put in that spot at Universal Studios as a ride of some sort of attraction.
Why?
Because, like I said, they have made five of these movies.
And the last good one was made a decade ago.
The Bourne Ultimatum. Yeah. Well, Bourne Legacy was okay.
The Bourne Legacy?
Yeah, the Bourne Legacy. The Bourne Legacy is when Bela Lugosi gets resurrected as a government agent spy. Gets a super soldier serum, but then he's like, I am Dracula. It's weird. The Bourne Legacy. That would have been better than Jeremy Renner. But anyway.
What about the Bjorn Borg Bourne?
The Bjorn Legacy? That's when...
okay.
The Bjorn Legacy is when... it's after Bjorn Borg retired after John McEnroe beat him at Wimbledon, and he never heard from him again, right? But really what happened was his programming took over, and his government asset kicked in, and he went on to become a super government spy throughout the 70s and 80s. He was in Beirut, and... Actually, this was all 80s, not 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bjorn Legacy and the Bourne Legacy spinoff films didn't do as well as the Bourne movies, so that's why they went back to... What was the name of that one? Jason Bourne? That's just what they call it, the most recent one?
Oh, man, I don't even remember.
It was so boring, Mark. It's incredible.
It was so boring.
Yeah, Jason Bourne.
It was very boring.
Yeah.
Jason Bourne. It was incredible how... After you see that one, you're like, oh man, those original ones were really good. So this is the third one in the series, and I think, though, these movies are sort of done in a way where you can watch them without really knowing what's going on. They're always like reestablishing new government bad guys and new programs anyway.
I forgot Alicia Vikander was in Jason Bourne.
Yeah, she was in the most recent one. But the Bourne Ultimatum had Ed Norton as the face of the government shadiness, Stooge, whatever. Stooge, yeah. Yes, exactly. And he's a perfect casting for that type of thing. And it takes place in New York City, which was like kind of a big deal when it came out at the time, because the first two were both set in different European cities where it's cheaper to shoot. And shooting this type of movie in New York City is just a logistical nightmare, but they do an incredible car chase sequence that's like in the middle of the movie that is worth the price of admission alone, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one of the few instances of a movie that, you know how for a while everything was all this crazy shaky cam?
Mm-hmm.
Everything's moving all crazy.
Yep.
This is one of the few instances of it being done right because of Paul Greengrass. The director knows what he's doing. So the Bourne Ultimatum, good stuff. If you can find the Bourne Legacy copies of that, or the Bjorn Legacy, if you can find that.
Watch those too.
Yeah, watch those as well. Bonus picks of the week. All right, there we go. Let's talk about the box office. Money. Dollars. Dollar bills, y'all. Box office top five. Drewster Cogburn, where are we starting our top five?
Number 17.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
First Reformed made $558,000.
This movie made $558,000. That's it?
Yeah, on a total of $1.7 million in 4 weeks. It's only in 334 theaters. It expanded by 243 this week.
So it's still rolling out.
Yeah.
Slow roll. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, Chris, we saw the movie.
We did see this movie, Mark.
I know why this movie's getting a slow. I'm surprised this movie has any roll.
I know, it's crazy this movie got made and that it's out there. Mark, this is a crazy movie.
What's it called?
Called First Reformed.
First Reformed.
Ethan Hawke plays...
Kills it!
He's so good.
Yeah.
He plays a minister.
Mm-hmm.
Did he produce this?
I don't know.
Actors like that, you're like, especially no one's hiring you.
Yes, and especially on a small movie like this. Well, first off, it's written and directed. Speaking of no one hiring you.
It doesn't say.
Speaking of no one hiring you, written and directed by Paul Schrader.
Well, what's the name? Sorry, does he have a production company?
I mean, this is
you know what? Hysterically, this is one of those ones where the movie starts with like six different production company logos. It made me think of a Family Guy joke where it just keeps getting there's new logos, and Peter thinks it's like the start of a new movie, and then it's just like another elaborate logo. It's like, oh, come on. So every time there's more than like three of those in a movie, I start thinking that this one has like five or six. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that he is somehow.
I don't want to get morbid early, but
let's do it.
Speaking of that card, what was the name of that card? Family Guy?
Yes.
The man who does all the voices and who created it?
Seth MacFarlane.
I think he's going to be the next person to commit suicide.
Oh, what? Oh, I was trying to do it.
I think that he's one of these guys. I want to give
it a triple. It gets a quadruple. Why is Seth MacFarlane?
I think that he has everything. He's a good-looking guy. He can sing.
Yeah.
Which is a random talent.
He can sing and dance.
Mm-hmm. Sing and dance. He created this juggernaut cartoon. Mm-hmm. He's very, very rich.
He's rich enough that he built an at-home IMAX theater. And it's hooked up to this program, to this service that you can pay for. $20,000 a month. You can get any movie first run as it comes out, like in your home, in your home theater.
That's
so,
what I want.
Exactly. So like Avengers Infinity War came out, he didn't have to go to the movie theater, all the
dirty movie theater.
He had his own amazing at-home IMAX quality theater where he can invite his friends and watch it like that weekend.
You guys go into the movie theaters and see these cartooned character movies.
Mm-hmm. Superhero movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you find joy in that it's a theater full of people who love the movie?
That's usually the worst part of it.
That's what Drew hates that part.
I hate the fanboys. I think fucking hate them. They're the worst people on the planet.
All right, now fanboys.
Kids.
No, kids are different. Kids have unbridled joy that you can't suppress. I enjoy.
When you say fanboys, do you mean like 45-year-old?
Yeah, people my age that claps when the Marvel logo comes on the screen, like, yeah! I was like, no, dude, seriously?
Yeah, it's annoying. But I do like being in a theater full of people who are there to see the movie. And so people are always like, oh, I don't like going to the theater because people are like on their phone or they're so rude, blah, blah, blah. But like when I saw Avengers Infinity War in a packed theater, for the most part, except for the scenes where people were clapping for Captain America, people are watching the movie, you know, no one was distracted on their phone, no one was on Facebook, everyone was there to watch the movie and everyone was sucked in, there was no one, you know what I'm saying, everyone was like behaving themselves is what I'm trying to say. That still happens, especially when you're in a movie theater full of people who are there to see it, not just casual.
I guess, yeah, if you fans. Don't enjoy that, then yeah, you would hate it.
Yeah.
But
First Reformed, though, is like the opposite of this type of movie where I don't even know how did these other people know to go see this movie?
I don't know. I have no idea. Because
it has no marketing.
No, zero. Well, and this
we saw one trailer for it.
Right? There's a reason why there's no marketing.
What do you want?
My sunglasses, please. Sunglasses over here.
It's a weird movie with an intriguing but slow setup and then a payoff that's like,
wow,
so not going to, it's not a crowd pleaser.
No. It makes people, I mean, just about everybody was like, what?
As we were walking out of that little theater, people were like, what?
In my head, I'm like, yes.
Yeah. It was a fun ending. So Ethan Hawke is a priest. He's a minister. And he's got his own, he's dealing with grief and his own life choices. And
he has to help other people with grief and their own life choices.
As a minister, right? So he's running this tiny little church in Northeast somewhere.
One of the oldest churches in Northeast.
It's like a 250-year-old church, 249-year-old church, about to have its 250th anniversary. But it's subsidized by one of these mega churches that like has a gigantic auditorium and a full office staff. And what's that one that's over here on Goldenrod, there's a Word of Life church.
Whatever, mega church.
Yeah, so many of these mega churches. I went to one once for a Thanksgiving service, and they had like a 10-piece band, and it was super funky, and there was this blonde-haired white lady up front in a sharp business suit singing like with the microphone. And at one point, I swear to God, she was trying to get everyone to go, jump, 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 like that. And she was, like, jumping in. It was crazy. It was, like, the music was very...
Like in a business suit with pumps?
Yes. But she was, like, jumping on the stage. And it was an auditorium with, I don't know, 800 people, maybe 1,000 people. God, packed. And I was like, wow, this is an experience. This is here in town. This is here, like, or maybe in the Hunter's Creek area, I guess. You know.
See, we have everything.
We have it all
at our fingertips.
Yes.
So
much, and that was free entertainment. I could have left after the music, but I stayed. That was a mistake. And a young woman, young pregnant woman, played by Amanda Seyfried. How do you say her last name?
I don't know.
That's a weird one. She's like, can you please talk to my husband? He's having some problems. He's a environmental activist, but he's very despondent about the state of the world and how everything's falling apart around us.
And they have a surprisingly intelligent conversation about it, Chris.
They have like a 10-15 minute conversation about the world and of our future and what we can and can't do. So there's a lot of philosophy right up front.
Mm-hmm.
Does that come from the director or the writer?
Yes.
Or
is this, so this is bringing it back.
That's
around
why you guys are like kind of.
Yeah, that's what I was saying in the beginning. Because you're talking about Ethan Hawke, like knowing he's a guy who people really aren't hiring him very much. They should be.
Yeah, because he fucking murdered it.
You guys aren't kidding. He was a good actor.
He was great in this movie.
He's very good in this. And it's written and directed by Paul Schrader, who
didn't he do Showgirls? Paul Verhoeven.
That's Paul Verhoeven and Joe Esterhaus.
What's Joe Schrader? What's he?
Paul Schrader wrote Taxi Driver.
Oh god!
So then in this movie, when the priest Ethan Hawke starts the movie with I'm gonna write a diary and it's an experiment, all this stuff. I really started thinking of Travis Bickle and Taxi Driver and like someone trying to better himself, but in a weird way. And he did that. And did you ever see Autofocus with Greg Kinnear and Willem Dafoe? That's the story of Bob Crane, the guy from Hogan's Heroes. Do you guys know that story?
Nope.
Oh my god.
The star of killed himself? Somebody killed himself.
He was killed. He was Bob Crane.
He was the lead.
He was the lead in Hogan's Heroes. He was also, he loved technology, he loved video cameras, and he loved girls, and he loved sex. And
so he put them all together.
He did put them all together. And he met a dude, a photographer named John Carpenter. Not the John Carpenter, Drew.
But another John Carpenter.
Another guy named John Carpenter. And they would, like, pick up chicks, take them back to hotel rooms, and, like, film them doing drugs and having sex and everyone being all crazy. And then Bob Crane was killed in a hotel room one day with bludgeoned with a tripod, a camera tripod, and John Carpenter was accused of the murder. I think he was convicted of it. Paul Schrader made a movie called Autofocus like 10-12 years ago. Greg Kinnear as Bob Crane, Willem Dafoe as John Carpenter.
There we go.
That's a really good movie. It's really good. It's really, it gets creepy. Paul Schrader makes creepy movies. He also
does.
Remember that Lindsay Lohan movie, The Canyons,
mm-hmm.
that came out a couple years ago with the porn star James Dean?
Yeah.
He did that one. He directed that. That was written by Bret Easton Ellis. No one liked it.
No.
But First Reformed, on the other hand.
Very good.
Can you pull up the Rotten Tomato score on this one? Let's see what the critics are saying.
Oh, everybody loves it.
This is one of those movies where the film community, film Twitter, the film critics are going to like it a lot. Your average moviegoer, the person who's going to see like Jennifer Lawrence movies.
It really all depends.
I don't think they're not going to dig it. It's a weird movie, man. It's slow.
It is.
There's like no music.
Nope. It's very character heavy.
And then, like I said, the weird, not necessarily weird, but the payoff that's not a crowd pleasing payoff.
It was so good.
It's your own type of interpreted this way type of payoff. A very interesting movie, I gotta say.
It's 98% certified fresh.
What out of how many reviews?
126.
What's the average rating though?
8.5.
But what's the consensus?
Brought to life by delicate work from writer-director Paul Schrader and elevated by a standout performance by Ethan Hawke, First Reformed takes a sensitive and suspenseful look at weighty themes.
It is an interesting movie, an interesting look at a movie about a. What happens when a man's religious ideology can be warped in a kind of a scary way? It's kind of a thriller, suspense thriller. What was the rating? What was the score? The rating, the score. What was the score?
98%?
98?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, but clicking on top critics. Then what's the score when you click on top critics?
There is no... Oh, top critics? 97.
Ha-ha! See?
But the rating, the average rating went up by 0.1. It's 8.6 for the top critics.
I don't know. I'm trying to prove
35 fresh, only one rotten.
Only one rotten. Who's that one jerk off?
And from all critics, out of 126 counted, only three rotten.
Only three rotten. So, I mean, it's just a very well-made movie, but like if you were going to pull a person from a shopping mall, like, hey, watch this movie, a random person.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, I mean, this is for the people who went and saw Hereditary.
This is for the people who what?
Went and saw Hereditary.
Oh, well, they're having a similar issue.
And any other weird little movie. Like, people, I mean, if you've seen any A24 movie, this is right up there with the rest of them.
Okay, well,
it's all weird and wacky and kind of strange and deep and heavy and makes you think.
So I think people who listen to our show, Cinema Crespo, so listeners, can look forward to First Reformed as an interesting film that they may or may not like, but at least will find something to like about it, I think.
Hopefully,
we think so. It's smartly made.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, it's that movie where Paul Schrader, he's not very subtle. You know where all his mind is right now.
And the things that are freaking
him out and what his fears are. It's very funny. I think, our listeners should check it out.
Definitely, 100%.
So that was number, 102?
17.
Number 17. Okay, so what's number 5?
Number 5, Avengers Infinity War. Made an additional $6.8 million. Total is $654 domestic. Another $1.3 billion foreign worldwide.
1,998,000.
Almost $2 billion.
Almost $2 billion. Mark, have you seen any of these movies?
No.
Iron Man's. Thor.
Oh yeah, I saw an Iron Man.
You saw one of the Iron Men?
Yeah.
The Thors.
Any of the Thors? Any of the
Guardians of the Galaxies?
Yes.
No, but I heard it's funny.
How about the? We're gonna go through all of them.
I heard the second one was not as funny.
Correct. More story. Guardian. You said the Captain America's.
No.
How about the
other
one? Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton.
Which doesn't. Second, which has
there,
to do.
There are two.
There are
two.
The Ang Lee one doesn't exist.
The Ang Lee one with Eric Bana doesn't exist in this universe. Okay. That one got wrote out because it was so bad.
Rode out.
Mm-hmm. What about
Ant-Man?
Ant-Man? No. Yeah. No.
The Black Panther.
The Black Panther.
Wakanda Forever.
That one's just on DVD though. It's fresh. I think that's all of them. And then obviously the Avengers tie-up ones, the meet-up ones. So you've seen of all of those, you've seen and Iron Man.
Yeah. Was Iron Man like 10 years ago?
The first one, yes, 10 years ago.
Probably I saw the first or second one. I don't know.
Probably the first one. That was a very. It was a hit. That's why they end up going down this whole road to begin with. We have no one to blame but ourselves for all these movies. That being said, we were enjoying them. Avengers Infinity War. Would you see it having only seen the first Iron Man? Would you see Iron Man, skip all the rest, and then see Avengers Infinity War?
That wouldn't make any sense.
The idea is that every character is in this movie.
Correct.
All the major characters, including Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange, is in it a lot.
Well, maybe you know what it might be. It's like a sampler where, like, I watch the movie and go, if I find characters that I'm like, oh, I like that one, I like that one, then I would go watch their singular
movie. That's actually happening because there's so many movies. What, 18 movies, right? That what's happening is that people who have only seen some of them, but still see this one. They're like, oh, I didn't realize these characters were so enjoyable, or I like them. And they're going back to like Netflix and they're watching
it's
all
like
these
Beanie movies. Babies is the point is that you get to know all of them.
Yes, or Care Bears.
Collecting them.
It's like Pokemon, you gotta catch them all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pokemon, Pocket Monsters.
So are they dependent on characters that have already been created in what are these called?
Comic books?
Yeah.
So they can't invent new characters.
No, they can if they want to.
They can reinterpret characters.
They've done some reinterpreting and changing, but they have not created anyone new for these.
Or he's cloned and is bad. Then now you can do Captain America movies. You're welcome.
You're welcome. They can. You know what?
That with Batman? Or Superman? There was like a bad Superman.
In the comic books, Bizarro Superman, and then actually there was Cyborg Superman. Was like a cloned version. He was using his all sorts.
It was a Kryptonian robot.
You put a goatee or a mustache on him, and they're evil version.
Yeah. What about like Captain Iraq or Captain Ireland?
There's a Captain Britain.
Captain Britain.
And there's
in the same world.
It's part of the Marvel Universe.
And Simon Pegg started lobbying recently. He wants to be Captain Britain, and another English guy is like, no, I want to be Captain Britain.
You know what they should do? They should totally make him an an American actor.
Yeah.
To,
so
are they doing everybody off?
Yeah. So they, like so, Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes.
So are they doing Excalibur? Is that what's going on here?
Though they need to go somewhere with the next phase of their movie. So
we're going to get Captain Britain. We're going to get see who's in Excalibur. Kitty Pryde was part of Excalibur.
So see there.
So was and they're, Nightcrawler.
And with Disney potentially buying Fox, they're going to have all the access to all their.
So was Nightcrawler. So,
there you go.
Banshee.
So I'm saying, Mark, having only seen Iron Man, you should see Avengers Infinity War.
Related, do you think it's been long enough that you could do a reboot of Lord of the Rings trilogy?
As a matter of fact, they are doing an Amazon Prime series based on the Lord of the Rings.
Well, that
books,
doesn't count.
But that's what they're doing. So, yes, it is apparently viable to do some sort of reboot already.
I'm all Tolkien'd out. I couldn't.
I'm Tolkien'd out too, especially after The Hobbits, but. I couldn't. But who knows? Yeah. What if it's good? It's going to be the pretty much the most expensive like TV series ever made. Right now, I think that is that title so, goes to Game of Thrones.
These people are just trying to fill that Game of Thrones hole that's going to be at the end of this last season.
Yeah, right. But and they'll do it with something established, something that Game of Thrones has been ripping off, The Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Bah, bah, bah. Hey, that worked out. So Avengers Infinity War, Mark's going to watch it and give us his review one day. It's going to be great. All right, what's number four?
Hereditary.
Ha!
Made 13-point-something million, same as total.
13-point-something. So Hereditary, have you seen any of this marketing?
Yeah, it's that Australian actress with an American accent.
Toni Collette.
Yeah.
Yes, and they've been marketing this pretty hard on like Facebook and stuff because I keep seeing when I scroll through, I see
it's
that
the
a lot.
Scariest movie ever.
They keep pushing that very hard. Okay, we have the Drew. Do we dispense that right now with the scariest movie ever?
It is definitely not the scariest movie ever. I mean, it is
not even the scariest movie the last few years.
It is.
Man.
It's a little tense. It's really twisted. I'll give it that. Yeah. It is. Fucking twisted, but it is.
It goes there.
It is in no. It is by no means scary.
Yeah, never once was I scared.
No,
or scared for like characters or anything outside of.
So is it like a like Silence of the Lambs is not scary, but it's twisted. Is that
a lot like that? Definitely.
Yeah, sure.
Unexpected.
I mean, completely weird. Completely different.
I'd fuck me.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd fuck me hard. Every time I hear "Goodbye Horses," I think about that scene. So,
and he hears that song a lot. Because
you'd be surprised.
Because he wakes up to it as his alarm for his alarm clock. It's like a tense movie, and towards the end, it definitely gets like really
off the chain.
Dark and like, whoa, this is weird. And you have to go with it. You really have to go along on this ride.
No.
That I want to compare it. I want to throw movies out there that would like be good comparisons, good benchmarks. But then I feel like it could also be sort of spoilery
a little
to
bit.
Say
yeah.
that it's a movie that fits these kind of molds. You know?
Hearing you guys say that it was good and weird makes me happy because the previews have not been weird. They've been like
they've been selling something else. The previews, I saw that with the trailer once, and after that, I stopped. Like, I just wanted to see the movie.
Like, I was expecting silence and jump scares galore.
Yeah.
And it's
scary.
There is.
I love that they're tricking you.
Yeah. I think there's maybe one jump scare in the whole movie, and it's an auditory one.
Yeah, exactly. So what's happening though is then I think a lot like the movie Mother, the Jennifer Lawrence movie that came out last year. People are going into it expecting one type of marketing.
Getting something else.
And they're getting something else. And it's affecting word of mouth. I think a lot of people aren't going to like this movie just because it goes places that they weren't expecting.
It does.
It's also a movie very much about grief.
Yeah, very much about grief.
A lot of grieving going on in this thing. Grieving mothers. If you can't handle scenes of people crying, you're going to want to stay
away.
Lots
of people crying.
A lot of that happens towards the middle of this movie. Some things happen that are very unexpected in this movie. I liked it quite a bit.
I really enjoyed it. It's new, it's fresh, it's original. Yep. I have never seen anything like
it. It's a cool mishmash pastiche of. I'm thinking of like three very specific horror films.
The scene at the end.
Yeah, the stuff at the end is wild. I can say this without giving anything away. There's definitely like a. Just in purely in terms of style, certain like homages to Kubrick and The Shining and the way shots are constructed
and I think
it's edited and stuff like that.
I think that all has to do with because there's I mean, for it being, you know, it's tense, it's a thriller, there is a bit of psychosis in the movie. Like, at some point, you know...
Oh, it's definitely for sure about someone's descent into madness.
Yeah, I mean, you're learning things about this character where you're like, whoa, you know?
And then you find about family history. Yeah. It's called Hereditary.
Things get even weirder.
That's the thing. So this is also the type of movie where... So it's called Hereditary. They start talking about family history, medical history. A lot of things that you see in this movie, don't dismiss them.
No.
Everything's in this movie for a reason.
Yes.
So things come back around, you know.
They always do.
It kind of.
Okay, I feel like you're giving it away now. Now I don't want to see it.
There you go.
Time's a flat circle.
Mark is out. Time's a flat circle. We say see Hereditary. Good stuff.
Number two this week.
That was number four?
Yeah.
All right.
Deadpool 2. Deadpool made 2? An additional 13.65.
All right.
Total 270.
Deadpool 2. Good stuff. We talk about that. No, let's move on. Let's go to
number two. Solo.
Solo.
Star Wars Story.
Star Wars Story.
Made 15 million.
Oof.
Total of 176. Not even going to beat Deadpool.
I'm telling you, it's barely going to make $200 million.
Yeah.
Barely going to make 200. Correct. So Solo, being Disney's first money loser under the Star Wars banner, people were surprised that it came so early.
Is that because Disney Animation made it?
No, it's live
action. Do you remember
action.
How Disney, Brother Bear, is this the Brother Bear of the Star Wars?
It kind of is, though, yeah, for Star Wars. Although they're going to keep making these movies, they're just going to figure out which ones they're going to do. They may not make Solo 2. Next.
No.
Instead.
So they just throw these ideas out and whatever people like, they'll go, okay, now we're going to make three of them.
Yeah, exactly. So if it doesn't happen the first time, then they'll stop with the other ones and then they'll just jump straight to the Boba Fett movie or the Obi-Wan movie, what they want to do. You know?
Nobody wants a Boba Fett movie.
No one wants an Obi-Wan movie. No one wants any of these movies. No one wants any of these movies.
I want an Obi-Wan movie if it's old school, like samurai in the desert, just with, you know, lightsabers.
A western?
Yeah.
I already said I only want a Boba Fett movie if it's about someone finding the Boba Fett armor in the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
And then going on a mistaken adventure.
And that's
mistaken
Boba
identity
Fett.
Adventure. Yeah. Yeah. That's Boba Fett. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm Boba
because,
Fett.
Because, I mean, Boba Fett's just a fucking clone.
He's just a fucking clone!
Oh, you all are mad because I'm guessing fanboys want a Boba Fett movie?
No, well,
I don't even think
and
they
you're
do.
Like, it's, there's
I've always,
not enough material
I've always been
there.
Baffled by the Boba Fett love.
It's
because he's just not much of a character.
He's
got a cool
he
costume.
He is not a character.
I mean, he's got a cool costume.
He's
cool.
A bounty hunter with a cool costume. That's it.
Because you know
that's,
his name.
Yes, I know his name, and his costume was cool.
That's all. That's all there is to him. There is no.
Well, maybe they should take those two things and go. All right. Well. Something is about the costume that people like, and they like the name, so let's create a whole new universe.
That's what I was saying. So I saw someone on Twitter say that. So the Boba Fett character in Return of the Jedi back in 84, he dies in the beginning of that movie.
Boom, right there. That thing gets eaten by that thing.
He gets eaten by the vagina, the ground vagina,
mm-hmm.
with teeth, because George Lucas is scared of vaginas.
Yep.
So Boba Fett falls into that thing, and it burps. Blah. And so the idea that I saw online is that someone, a scavenger on that planet, is like by that pit. He finds the armor, the undigested armor of Boba Fett, and he puts it on. And then he becomes a mistaken identity thing. People think he's Boba Fett, and he goes on some crazy adventure, just wearing the costume and using the name, but being a whole new dude and like falling ass backwards into exciting adventures.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It sounds like fun, doesn't it? If they don't make that movie, I'm like, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, if they don't make that movie, then they could take the name Boba Fett,
mm-hmm.
and it's about Asian women having a birthday party.
Boba Fett? How? Mm-hmm. Can you explain that one?
Well, it's Boba. Like, they're having Boba,
the Boba tea.
And
yeah.
Fett is a word for party.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, F-E-T-E, with some kind of French doodad.
So we just change the name of the spelling, Boba Fett, F-E-T-E, and then it's just, I'm having Boba tea over here.
It's Asian women putting together a birthday party.
Up here at IFA Noodles 2, the sequel, they have milkshakes where they throw the boba balls in there. You ever do that?
Nope.
Well, so now that's big in Orlando right now. There's a boba tea shops opening up everywhere. So,
which means it's
they're
just
all chains.
So it's just the balls then? Is that the what's is that
there's
what makes
boba
it boba?
Tea, there's milk tea. It's anything. It's like $5 or $6 for bullshit.
But it's boba balls, right? That makes
it
what it is. So what are those things? What is that?
I don't know.
See, we don't even know. We're just taking it for granted.
I've never had one.
The problem I read about I don't want to get off tangent.
Go Why ahead. Not? They were all about
tangent number away. Two.
No, I want to know about boba.
Well,
balls.
There's an issue with boba tea and in Asian countries because you require those giant straws, and of course, plastic is killing
everything.
The environment. Yeah. So they're like trying to figure out how they can make paper straws that would work with boba.
Wow,
for boba because it's a huge industry. In
I don't know
Asian
if you
countries.
Heard, but SeaWorld has switched over from plastic to paper.
I haven't. I didn't know that. Didn't know That's that? Good. Did you see when the whale got cut in half and there's like 80 pounds of plastic bags.
I've seen that like over the last couple of years.
Don't
yes,
you wish they
times.
Were all Publix bags? Oh, I
just
wish.
Just to drive the point home.
Yes.
That I love the crusade against Publix. Hey, man, I get my breakfast sandwiches there.
They have breakfast sandwiches?
At some Publixes. Yeah. The one by me does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got a super fancy one in Winter Park.
We got the super fancy one, the one that has the cooking school.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I know that is.
Yeah, and they got a Starbucks counter. On the inside.
Yeah, yeah, and they have breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I'm going to go there.
You can get a bacon, eggle, and cheese.
Bacon, eggle?
Bacon, eggle.
Bagel, egg, cheese, and bacon, or egg, cheese, and sausage breakfast sandwich.
Number one this week, Chris.
And it's only $2.99, and it's like this big. It's a good-sized sandwich. And then you can have the sandwich, the condiments thing for the subs. You can get them to throw whatever the F you want.
Oh, you can get, like, tomatoes and lettuce on your breakfast sandwich?
Yep.
Come on.
Let me show you where it's
at. Is number one
Come
this week.
Come on. Chris. Let me show you. What? The made, women are up top?
Made $41.5 million on a budget of 70.
How much?
100? 41.
141?
No, 41.
141?
41.
It could have made more. But how much is the Oceans? Oceans movies didn't make that much money.
Probably not.
Oceans 8, number one movie. The women up top, take that. It took 8 ladies to do the job of 11 men. Ladies and gentlemen, Oceans 8 is here. Drewster Cockburn and I saw it.
Did it though?
What'd you think?
It felt like an Ocean's Light.
It did feel kind of Ocean's Light, right?
Like, they didn't develop the characters halfway as much as they do in the Oceans movies, which is barely development at all, but for some reason they managed to do half the amount.
Yeah.
Weird. The heist was half as intricate as the other heists were. They used half the manpower, well, quote-unquote manpower.
Three quarters
of the manpower. I mean, it didn't seem like the specialists were that special. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a half-assed attempt.
Just half of an Ocean's movie.
No, really did. It did for some. I mean, the ladies were great. They did their jobs.
They were all fine.
They were all fine.
They all did what they had to do.
They acted their asses off. It was definitely. It seemed like it was Soderbergh inspired.
Soderbergh light. Soderbergh-ish.
You know,
but
it
not
wasn't
Soderbergh.
It seemed like maybe. It could have been given one more pass.
Mm. Yeah, you know what?
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there was just... It seemed not...
I'd have to agree...
All there.
I'd have to agree with all that. There were a few... It had its laughs. There were moments that... A couple of moments that made me laugh out loud. I know I heard you laugh out loud at least once, although I can't remember when.
Yeah, I forget.
It was, like, fine enough. It's a type of movie that I'd be cool watching, like, I'm gonna... A strange city on a Sunday and it's raining and it's on the hotel TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Ocean's 8 is on. I'll watch this.
So tell me why you think it was made. Do you think it was because Sandra Bernhardt wanted to make it?
Sandra Bullock.
Whatever.
Oh, man, this movie could have used a Sandra Bernhardt.
Yeah,
it
definitely.
Could have used that energy.
Oh, yeah.
Seemed like a lot. When I looked at the ladies who were in it, it's a lot of bland... Bland.
You thought so? I love Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett.
They do that.
Yeah.
And that's
a George Clooney Brad Pitt analog.
And it worked.
Yeah. They have that. They have the chemistry of like, we're all
just friends. Shut up the hell over here in the corner.
No, but
with my opinions.
But they're the ones that focus on the marketing. Did you even know Mindy Kaling was in it?
Yeah.
Aquafina. Who else? Rihanna Bonham Carter, yeah. Rihanna.
Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway, she was barely in the marketing. She was in a lot more of the movie than I thought she was going to be, and she kind of stole the show.
I thought she was great. I really, but I also like Anne Hathaway a lot. I just liked all these people. I like her a lot. I thought she was great. You really think they're just bland white people, Mark?
No, they're not. It was just like they didn't, there wasn't, the combo didn't excite me.
True.
Like, there wasn't an older lady.
No.
There wasn't an older lady.
They had the old dude. from the Ocean's movies.
That was a cameo. Yeah, the one of the old dudes cameo real quick.
And it was like they're robbing something. They're robbing, and then they had to turn it into what they were robbing was a lady thing, a fashion event.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, this is like...
They're trying to steal jewels during the Met Gala. Yes, yeah. You know, as opposed to a casino or...
And all those jewels are rented.
Well, they made a huge deal about how they had to get those particular jewels because Cartier had them and all this stuff.
Blah this and blah that.
I liked that. I liked all the heist. I mean, you go to these movies for the crime and the heist and the planning.
And then
you wait for something to go wrong. All right, great, something went wrong. How are they going to get around it? And they gave you that. But Drew is right in that compared to the Ocean's trilogy that already came out, it's not as... everything is just like not as done well. It's just not as intricate or as...
I mean, they did a better job with Ocean 7-Eleven, Chris.
I feel like this movie's on the level of an Ocean 7-Eleven. Logan Lucky, Steven Soderbergh did a heist movie with Channing Tatum and Daniel Craig, but it's like rednecks.
And they're all low. It's low and tech, and they're all hicks in West Virginia.
Is it a real movie or is it like a?
No, it's a real movie.
It sounds like a fake movie, right?
It's called
a real
Logan
movie.
Lucky.
They rob a racetrack during a NASCAR event.
And some in the movie,
is it
they
a comedy.
They, Yeah. Okay. In the movie, they reference that somebody calls them Ocean 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
because
end,
it's the poor version.
They're in the police report. They call it Ocean 7-Eleven, which is very
now that
funny.
Sounds more interesting than
it was.
We're gonna do the lady version of a man movie.
Daniel Craig plays Johnny Boom.
Joe Bang.
Johnny Boom.
Johnny Boom, aka Joe Bang, aka Daniel Craig. The new character on the show. That's Drew's new character. Go ahead, Drew. Give us a little bit of Johnny Boom.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Aww.
Is Daniel Craig doing 007 again?
One more time.
Yeah.
One last time with the director of Slumdog Millionaire and 28 Days Later and Trainspotting.
Oh.
So it's going to be weird.
And Trainspotting 2.
Trainspotting.
Which didn't ever need to exist.
Yeah, Trainspotting 2 stinks. Yeah, see, Ocean's 8, I really wanted to like it. I do like it. It's good, but I feel like it could have been great, and they just didn't work hard enough to make it great.
Yeah.
They could have worked harder to make it great. Maybe they could have had a lady director instead of Gary Ross.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe that would
have... They didn't have a lady director.
Exactly.
Whatever it was, it was missing that.
It was missing something. It was missing something, so that's a bit of a bummer. Anyways,
it is.
So there you go. Ocean's 8, that's our review. That's your number one movie. Right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
And, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes seems to
what's a Rotten Tomato thing?
What's that? 67%.
Average
rating 6.3 out of 10.
Okay.
Ocean's 8 isn't quite as smooth as its predecessors, but still has enough cast chemistry and flair to lift the price of a ticket from filmgoers up for an undemanding caper.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much what we said. Yeah. All right, well, new movies come out on DVD. A whole bunch of movies come out on DVD this week. Tomb Raider, speaking of Alicia Vikander.
Oh, sweet. I finally get to watch that.
You can watch that. I Can Only Imagine is the latest Christian exploitation hit.
Mm.
That's the one based on that Hillside song. You hear about that one, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Let me put my phone down.
That was on, like, the spring. The movie I Can Only Imagine is a Christian exploitation movie based on... a Christian song that was a Hill song. Have you heard of a Hill song?
No.
They're a very popular Christian musical act of
when you
sort.
Say Christian exploitation, do you mean it's for a movie for Christians?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Very heavy Christian values.
Yes, okay. 100%.
Referencing Jesus quite a lot.
Yes, a lot and of prayer that, and faith.
And the fact that they're Christians are being persecuted in this day and age because they're Christians.
They're very self-important movies. This one features Dennis Quaid as an abusive father and apparently a very affecting performance from what I read.
Where's Randy when you need him?
Oh, he is not doing good. He's got that big white beard, and him and his wife are like on the run from the government or something.
Sweet.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
Are they going to do a Christmas Vacation too?
No.
Not with Randy on the run.
No, not with Randy on the run. You know what? They did make that
Vacation
movie.
Can we do
a
movie called Randy on the Run?
I'd be totally down for that.
Sounds like a
That sounds like a great documentary. Good TV series. Mm-hmm. Randy on the Run. Someone slap a GoPro tag at his beard. Remember the Strangers movie from like 10 years ago with
was that the one where the people just show up and start murdering the fuck out of people?
And they just murder and they're just like, Steven Tyler's daughter.
And they're all like, why are you here? They're like, because we are.
Yeah, just because we want to. They made a sequel to that no one saw. That's coming out on DVD. Cool.
The Strangerers.
The Strangers:
The Strangening.
The Stranger's Colon?
The Stranger's Colon.
That's the Stranger's Colon, the Strange Name.
The Strangening hyphen The Stranger's Colon. It's a long title. That's why it didn't work. Sherlock Gnomes comes out. And if you don't think the Sherlock Gnomes movie doesn't have a no-ship Sherlock joke, you're wrong. Because it does.
Okay.
It's a kid's movie?
Ostensibly.
Is it a cartoon?
Yes.
Why are you talking about this movie?
Jakes. Because it's coming on DVD. Oh. And Love, Simon comes out on DVD.
Oh, you finally get to watch this, Chris.
I finally get to watch it, Mark. I'm going to watch Love, Simon.
Why waste your time? If you know you're going to be mine, you know you're going to... Why waste your time?
Do you think it's a waste of time? It's very garbage. Well reviewed. Can you pull up a Love, Simon on Rotten Tomatoes? Let's get the Mark Veritoli
review.
Well, they're lying. No, I want to know why. Tell me why it's garbage.
It's idiotic. It's not sophisticated. We're in the era where
92%
than this movie. This movie feels like Christian exploitation.
Okay, gay exploitation. It's like
no, it's Christian exploitation. It's so slow and backwards. I can't imagine any gay person watching. And I must be the lone gay person who thinks this because everyone loved it.
No,
you have to free tickets to gays.
You're not. I've seen other people talk about how. Okay, so first off, it's like the first time. Quote Hollywood, there's a big release movie that is just like a coming of age gay love story. It's the first time that's come out in Hollywood, which is ridiculous. 2018. But on the flip side, it's so pedestrian and cleaned up and like not gay in its gayness that it's like gay. It's a gay movie for mainstream audiences.
Yes, it's not a coming of age because a coming of age would be that they're already out.
Okay.
And now they're learning about love.
Mm hmm.
You know, that would have been, like a straight person, those movies about coming of age is they have their first love mm-hmm. or they have their first loss or they get into college. Mm-hmm. This would be, the equivalent would be two gay kids who fall in love and learn about I'm straight and now I realize I'm gay.
So you're saying confusing, it's like it's confusing coming out of the closet to people with.
Coming of age
and learning more about life and love, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, coming of age is not coming out of the closet.
Those are two different things.
Totally different things.
Interesting.
Because once you come out of the closet, then you can come of age and do the things that everybody else does. Mm-hmm, you can do it in the closet as well, but coming out of the closet is totally unrelated.
Those people have come of age whilst in the closet because that's just the way society has been for so long.
I mean, you're a faggot. What do you think?
Oh, Drew. He's talking to you, buddy.
What? I wasn't paying attention.
No shit. he checked out the gay cinema conversation. Mark, I'm going to watch Love, Simon. I mentioned this to you in a text. I'm going to watch it. And then I want to do a bonus episode with you where we talk about, you know, for 20, 30 minutes about, like, gay cinema. Because I only have the mainstream audience view of a gay Call Me By Your Name, this kind of stuff, jerking off with a peach. So my perspective is Moonlight. Yes, I want to talk about this kind of thing, but I would like to talk to a gay person, man. If you don't mind being labeled and pigeonholed in such a way for at least one episode for some
pigeonhole. That's my Saturday night.
Woo.
My boyfriend is more into these gay movies.
Would he be into coming onto the show with us?
No, he's really shy.
Is he really? Yeah. I get that from your Instagram where you like blur out his face and stuff.
That's obviously
by his request. I can tell.
First of all, if we take a selfie, he has to be turned away from the camera or out of focus.
Yeah, it's always like the back of his head.
Second, I have to then show him the picture and say, is this okay for Instagram?
Aww,
and then he has to say, okay.
It's so sweet of you to take those extra steps for him. What? That's a loving relationship, Drew. How come we don't have that?
Because we're not gay for each other, Chris.
Yeah, but we have like a hetero, non-sexual life thing going on.
But I hate you.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's marriage. Is that the final stage of marriage?
I don't know.
I mean, you've moved out. We've been legally separated. all right, so would you be down for having like a fun discussion like that about these type of movies, Mark?
Because well, what type of movies? It's one
gay
movie.
Gay movies. No, gay movies.
I don't
movies
watch
about
them.
Gay,
see, this is why I'm bad. Shane goes and Shane watches the game. Shane will flip on Netflix. They have like a gay
they
movies
do,
on
yes.
Netflix.
Yes.
He will watch those trashy movies.
That's the thing. That's
and
another
bad.
I don't
they're
watch those.
Good.
The ones where like all the cover art is always like four dudes shirtless laying in bed together. They're all the same. No.
I don't know because Netflix I don't pick, has, I just walk in the living room and suddenly
and
I'm seeing a room full of gay people talking as if it's normal to be gay, which it's not. So I'd love to talk about gay cinema.
That's the thing. Yes, that's why. Yes.
Christian exploitation.
So maybe ask Shane for some gay exploitation recommendations, some recs. Yeah.
E-recommendation. I saw what you did there.
Hoo-ah. Oh, no, it's a bit of dumps. That's what I wanted.
Thank you.
I wanted that one the whole time. Yeah, get some recs from him, and then we can talk about gay
but
representation
there's something there, definitely.
In Hollywood, because representation matters.
I think to honestly be beneficial to your audience, you need to get someone who's completely opposite of me, because I have a little... I don't even go to movies. You know what I mean? I'm not a movie fan. Should I be saying this on your movie podcast?
Yeah, we have so many people that say that all the time, it doesn't matter. Oh. It's funny you say you don't go to movies because a lot of these movies don't go to the movie. They don't go to theaters either.
They're all
a lot
on
of
Netflix.
Yeah, straight to video. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. You know what's important? What I feel is important, what he gets out of it, is seeing gay people on the screen.
Yes. Representation, 100%.
That's it. He likes seeing, yeah.
Someone that looks like him, that acts like him. Yeah, because, I mean, for me, that's why I cling to Benicio del Toro for dear life, like he's my life vest in the middle of the ocean. He's the only Puerto Rican actor out there doing anything. And then when he's playing like a Mexican drug dude, I'm like, oh, Benicio, you're letting us down, man.
You should be playing a rich white man, Benicio del Toro.
Or he should be playing, he played a lawyer in Inherent Vice.
Or a hairstylist.
He plays a
lawyer turned assassin in Sicario.
Yeah,
why can't he just play a bumbling dad who's left with the kid for the weekend?
Yeah, why can't
because
he?
Because that's reserved for old white men.
All the white men. Yeah.
Why
yeah. Why can't he have a Mr. Nanny or exactly?
Why is there poop on my hand?
The Rock did that. Wasn't The Rock Mr. Nanny?
He was.
He's a person of color.
Is he Latino?
He is.
No, he's
no,
Samoan.
Samoan, which would make him Southeast Asian.
Oh, all right.
That's why he's got all them tattoos, which he resisted for years getting. He didn't want to get the tattoos because, especially when he was still a wrestler and he was shirtless so often as his profession, he held off on getting these traditional Samoan tattoos.
Well, because he didn't want to be pigeonholed.
Because he didn't want his look to be pigeonholed. He didn't want to have to deal with it. And then as he transitioned more...
He came out of the Samoan closet.
Yeah, he came out of the Samoan closet, yes, as he became more of an actor and less of a wrestler.
It's like Linda Ronstadt when she first came out. She never talked about being Native American. Never talked about having a Mexican. And then at some point she was like, she did a
big reveal
album of Mexican songs and identified as a Mexican. People were like, excuse me.
Like, who are you? Who do you think you are? Linda?
Why are you now coming out?
Excuse me, Linda? It's like Martin.
Linda.
Yeah, Linda.
Linda's from Mexico, right?
Well, it's like Martin Sheen. You know, Martin Estevez changed his name to Martin Sheen.
Oh.
And then
Emilio took the old name.
And then Emilio was like, no, man.
Who was Mexican in that family? Because everyone looks white.
They all look white. It's Martin's mother. So Martin is half Mexican, which makes Emilio and Charlie quarter Mexican. Yep. Mexicano.
Yeah, what happened to Estevez? Isn't he?
He's an actor. He was an actor. He's a director producer.
That's what I thought.
He does a lot of scenes. He does a lot of TV. His most recent movie is actually a pretty good movie starring his dad called My Way, and it's about if people can find this, it's out there. Sometimes it's on Netflix and Amazon. Martin Sheen, his son, his character's son, goes on some like pilgrimage trail in Europe that's like some famed long walking trail that's a holy thing, but he dies very early on, so Martin Sheen has to go and identify the body to take the body back to America, but he decides instead to go walk the trail himself
for
his son. Yes, and he takes his like remains with him, and then he meets people like ashes.
Wait,
he gets them cremated into
package
ashes
in a box,
so he can take them to the inn and dump the ashes. And he meets some other pilgrimagers along the way.
Pilgrimagers.
That sounds really nice.
It's a really good movie, and it actually came out in theaters and stuff. I saw it at Winter Park Regal. It's from like 10 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And Emilio Estevez directed. His father is the star. It's good stuff. So that's what he's been doing. Good old. And then, you know, as we all know, Charlie Sheen has AIDS. So no, HIV positive. Excuse me.
Not full blown AIDS.
Not full blown. No. It's not the death sentence it used to be, Mark. Don't worry, buddy. It's cool. Don't.
I just love that you just extremely
throw it in
funny.
Just throw it in there. Boom. Real quick, just so people will know. Drew Sikogran, speaking of HIV, we need to talk to our residential doctor in training. Are you still practicing,
what
doctor?
What other movies coming out in theaters, Chris?
Oh, shit. Am I jumping ahead?
You are.
I'm sorry.
You're jumping the gun, bud.
What's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, John Travolta is John Gotti.
Yes, this movie was supposed to come out last Christmas, but then the production company tried to sell to Netflix, and then the producers were like, fuck you, we're taking the movie back, and we're going to find a real company to put it out. So here it is, Gotti. Apparently it's supposed to be pretty good. So we'll see. We'll see.
Also coming out.
Yep.
Director X's remake of Superfly.
Yeah, I've seen no marketing for this whatsoever.
It looks awful.
So I would not be surprised if it's not coming out.
It looks awful. Yeah. I've seen...
Have you seen marketing for it?
I have. It does not look good.
That's a bummer that there's a bad Superfly remake. Superfly is so much fun. But also, then you know what? The Shaft remake was bad, too.
Yeah, it was. Also coming out, Tag.
Tag, yes. This is a movie where Jeremy Renner broke both arms. So if you're watching this movie, keep an eye out for his cast or CG arms. Because there's a couple times when he has CG arms.
And last but certainly not least, The Incredibles Dose.
The Incredibles 2, we're talking about this one being the most successful animated movie of all time, financially speaking. It's going to make tons of money. We'll see about that. Are you looking forward to this one at all, Drew? I like The Incredibles.
I mean, The Incredibles was fine, but
it's been 14 years since The Incredibles came out.
There needs to be a damn good reason for this movie to be happening.
There's the same amount of time between Return of the Jedi and The Phantom Menace is how much time is between The Incredibles and
Incredibles 2. Like I said, I just don't... It was fine as a standalone.
It was enough.
Yeah.
It was enough. Drew Sikogran.
Chris Crespo.
Doctor, give me... You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, here he is with your prescription for life. It's Dr. Drew. Drew Sikogran, take it away.
Chris, Hereditary is here, and it's weird. And much like you already said, like, Mother, it'll kind of blow your mind. I don't think people are necessarily ready for it, but it needs to be seen. So if you're on the fence about seeing this movie at all, get off the fence. Go see the movie. Cogburn out.
There you go. Go see Hereditary. Dr. Drewster Cogburn has thus prescribed it. Let's take a quick break. Crespo Disco time. I grabbed a song from the Daniel Pemberton original soundtrack for Ocean's 8. The very funky stuff like that. A lot of horns.
Keeps you moving.
Keeps you going. Keeps you moving. It's good stuff. So I grabbed a song. Check this out. We'll be back with the second half of the show brought to you by Orange Blossom Brewing, Orange Blossom Pilsner, Toasted Coconut Porter, Back in the Day IPA, and of course, Orange Blossom Pilsner Squared. So good. Drew, Mark, you guys ready?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hey, gang, it's Chris. I'm chilling in the Crespediso studio, and I'm drinking Orange Blossom Pilsner. This stuff is delicious, and you know it. It's made with real honey, but that doesn't mean it's sweet. That sweetness gets it gets fermented out by the yeast. That's how that works. It becomes amazing alcohol, and then instead of a sweet drink, you have a nice, crisp beverage that we know as Orange Blossom Pilsner. So good. Love it. Drink it. It's great. Also, guys, heads up, check your local suppliers, especially here in Florida. 16-ounce cans of OBP are about to hit the market. That's just that much more drinking goodness for every can, every serving. Can't wait to get my hands on some of those. And if you find these 16-ounce cans, or if you're just drinking OBP in general, take some pictures. Let us know. Share them with us on social media. On Instagram, Cinema Crespediso, or on Twitter, at Crespediso. Let us know. Maybe even use a hashtag. I don't know. A hashtag, I love OBP. Take that picture. Send it to us. Let us know you're drinking it. It's so good. Then also, don't forget, they got that toasted coconut porter, that back in the day IPA, and that OBP squared. So check out any of the delicious beers from Orange Blossom Brewing. Take some cool pictures. Share them with us, and we will share them with the world. So remember, drink OBP. The bees need the work.
Welcome to the Questo Game.
This is a Halloween version?
Finish him.
That's
with
right.
Mortal Kombat?
We are back. Episode 283 continues. I'm with Jersey Cogburn.
Drew.
Chris.
I'm with Mark Baratelli. Mark.
Mark.
I'm with Nana. Nana. Nah, it's good, Steve Etchie. We appreciate it, buddy. Nana's probably going to just chew on her pillow. We are hanging out in the studio. We are doing our thing. We are continuing with the plugs. Drewster Cogburn, plug it away. Where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419, some places on the internet.
Some places on that damn internet. Mark, where can people find you online?
Hell, you can find me on the Daily City. The Daily City on Instagram, Twitter, and of course the internet.
Absolutely. We're doing the Daily City podcast. Was Orlando Opinion. Now it's the Daily City.
It started as Orlando Opinions, got the domain. We love the name, Orlando Opinions.
It's a fun name, alliteration.
Yeah, two O's.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, we're gonna take all the opinions off the blog, and we're gonna put them on this podcast,
yes.
And that's where all the opinions are gonna live.
Yes.
And then we did some episodes, and I had some opinions, and they were all the same. And I'm like, no one wants to hear me, bitch, even for 5 minutes.
So it's now the Daily City, just like the blog, just like
news.
The brand, just like the Instagram. It's just the news. It's all the news and views.
Local, hyper-local, Orlando.
Hyper-local. I like that hyper-local, because that's what it is. Yeah, you don't know what's happening at the corner of Cimarron and 50? You're going to find out.
Pretty much.
At the Daily City.
I love doing it. Yeah,
at least one homeless person.
At least.
Oh.
Probably.
Well, cause they got the flyover now, so it gives them nice room and areas.
That's
to
true,
congregate.
Yeah.
Practically high-rise living.
High-rise living?
For homeless people.
Yeah, the way it slants up like that, you're all the way, it's like 23 feet in the air.
Are you talking about a specific area?
Yeah, the flyover at 750. That flyover
50th.
They got
oh,
in front of Dancers Royale.
That is good.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, you could put multi-story tiny houses in there.
Yeah,
definitely.
They got the one at Redbug and Cimarron as well.
You could put a convenience store in there.
No, a tiny little
you
convenience
could put
store.
Two-story apart. I mean, that's a that you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. You guys know what you're talking about. I didn't know. I wasn't expecting.
They got that. They're turning that park underneath I-4 downtown, right?
Oh yeah.
Trying to do that thing?
Yeah, I'm always bitter about that because believe it or not, my little blog was the first blog to release the sketch of what it was going to look like.
Oh, really?
And because it's public information, no other publication has to credit you.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as I put it on and tweeted it out, everyone else had it.
They just stole it and put it out there like it was
well,
their discovery.
Technically, I mean, yeah, because they don't, huh?
Like, those things, like, it was their discovery. Like, oh, we figured this out that this is what's happening.
Well,
like, you're the one who did the work.
They don't have to, right. And honestly, the work was, I was the only person to write the city and say, give this to me.
Yeah, well, there you
and
go.
And that's why I got
you're
it.
You're the only one who thought of it, yeah. Exactly. Those sons
the
of bitches.
Genius.
So,
The Daily City. Check it out. New episode every week. They usually come out on Saturdays.
Yeah, the good thing about this, the sales thing, is that it is, you get about 8 to 10 stories a week.
Yep.
In 5 minutes.
Very fast, pal. Boom.
30
boom.
Seconds a story.
Information.
Really quick. I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
I get in, get out. I want you to listen to it, you know.
Listen, every podcast can't be 8.5 hours long.
No, I don't have those skills. So, yeah, exactly. This is a scripted, everything is scripted. Yeah. I don't do anything off the cuff. Mm. It is the news. It comes from our blog, some other newspaper websites. And we just get in, get out.
100%. You know? Yes, it's good stuff. People listen to The Daily City. Rate it, review it on the Apple Podcasts because that matters. Sort of.
Apparently, yeah, yeah.
We got 10 ratings on that thing.
But you can't really quantify and say what that means.
Nah, you can't.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
So
The Daily City. People, check out the blog, check out the show, check out Mark Baratelli. And Chopsticks and Biscuits.
Chopstick and Biscuit on Instagram.
All right.
We put a photo or video every day.
Yeah, check it out.
Very consistent social media.
Very nice. You gotta be consistent.
You got consistency or you're dead.
Or you're
in this industry.
You're dead.
You're dead.
Why even bother? If you're not tweeting, Facebooking, and Snapchatting at least 84 times a day.
Forget it.
You're dead.
Get out of here.
Or how many tweets you put out today, Drew?
Zero.
Not enough.
How many?
Not good enough.
How many tweets have I put out this year, Chris?
How many?
Zero.
You're not on Instagram. You're not on Twitter. You're probably not on Twitter.
How many times have I logged into Twitter this year?
How do you express yourself? Are you on Instagram?
Yeah,
barely.
He doesn't express himself.
Do you journal?
No.
I feel like you have so many thoughts that they would have to get out somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I usually just spew out of my mind at random people.
So he's giving away his personality for free everywhere he goes.
Everywhere he goes, as opposed to quantifying it.
Monetizing it. Listen, we know about monetizing your brain. So talk to us after the show.
Yeah. I've been trying to work on it for years.
I mean, I've been on the show for about 5 years now, so.
Yeah, I've been trying so hard.
Well, never mind. I don't think I have anything to show you.
He could use more. He could do more.
I could, if I chose to.
Could be a painter.
No, I couldn't.
Could be an architect.
Not so good at that either.
Could be a brain surgeon. That's art.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's
I hate when people call everything an art. Everything is an art. Everything is not an art.
Everything is an art. Taking
art
out the trash.
Is an art.
There's an art to taking out the trash.
There's an art to taking a shit.
There's an art. There's for sure. Thank you, Drew Cogburn. Yeah. Finally, a podcast willing to talk about shitting.
Squatty potty. Come on. Do we have it? Did you invest in it?
No, although, I mean, it should be invested in. I mean, that should be the new standard.
Toilets should come with it.
No. No, it's
the Vecchi chiming in there.
It's meant to.
He loves the squatty potty.
It properly aligns your bowels for
squatting
shitting.
And potting.
Yeah. No.
And then you think, I did some research on squatting. Not, and it sounds sexual, but that is the human way that we're supposed to be sitting. That is how our bodies are structured. So when we think about chairs and seats and we wonder why our backs hurt, it's because of chairs.
Yeah, because we're not supposed to be sitting this way.
Correct. No.
Yep.
So I've been doing more squatting at home. When I'm playing with the cats, I'll like do a squat.
Yeah.
And it like you feel the muscles, certain muscles you're not used to stretching, stretch, and you feel all these things in your butthole.
And it feels better as opposed to sitting in a chair.
When you're like humped over and
Well,
I am always trying.
My lower
fight
back
that
hurts
hunch.
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
yeah, and like this, and then 30 seconds later, I'm grandma again.
Yes. Yeah, it takes like mental effort to be like, I'm gonna sit straight, and then like a minute later, I'm like, I'm back.
There's an app where you
be like an ogre.
You stick the thing on your back, and it tells you when you like gives you a, I guess
when you're slouching.
Haptic.
There you go. Haptic sensor. There you go. That's what we need.
And it's an app, and you beep 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 beep.
Yes, that's what we need. We need apps to tell us to not slouch.
I do. Lord knows I do. Did you know they're opening a store over here at the Maitland City Center? It's going to be one of these. It's like a Blue Apron sort of, a prepared meal place. You walk in and you can get your meal kit to take home and cook.
Cool.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because every now and then I want to cook, but I have to get 3 boxes a week.
Well, I mean, yeah.
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 Yeah, right over here.
No, I do like that. It's like FU grocery store. It's like a new grocery store.
Well, no, it's like a prepackaged grocery store. It's like, you know what? I want I want roast beef.
I want to make chicken ramen tonight.
I want chicken ramen tonight. But instead of going to this aisle and that aisle and doing it all yourself, it's just here's everything you'll need for chicken ramen. Have a nice day.
Brown sack, which is how it should be. Yeah. Now get out. You know?
Brown sack of your individually portioned shit.
And they should probably put like a time limit, like you're only allowed to be in the store for 5 minutes. You have to make a decision.
I'm fine with that.
I'm cool with that too.
Like it would make us so much happier.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with it.
Sack one, sack two, and sack three. Like, give me the fuck out.
Do me one better. Update your menu on your website daily so I can make my decision before I even walk in. I look at your website and on my app.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want this. I walk in, I say, I want a number two, number threes. Give me my number threes. I'm going to take them home.
No, you order on your app. You go to through the drive-thru window.
You've already paid
on your app. You just drive and go.
As a matter of fact, as a matter of fact, I want to order on my app and then it just delivered to my house.
So you want Blue Apron?
I want Blue Apron. This episode brought to you by Blue Apron.
Why don't you just get on Blue Apron?
This episode brought to you by Blue Apron. They will give you all your Blue Apron needs. Oh, that was your button, Drew. God damn it. I really got to do a better job of partitioning these buttons.
And you talk about it every episode.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? Oh, see, I did it again. Drew Sacogman.
Chris.
You can follow the show on Instagram at Cinema Crespity. So
I do.
To see that cool piece, that art piece we got from Sam over there at Mind of Pink Elephants over at Mope. She made us an awesome piece.
Is she on Instagram?
There is an Instagram. It's not that well updated lately because she is sort of a young lady. Family. Yes, exactly, busy lady. But if you look up Mind of Pink Elephants, it goes by Mope, M-O-P-E. She's a great artist, and you can hire her for your own commission work. She's great. Hit her up. Sam Jarvis, J-A-R-V-I-S.
Hashtag. You can find her hashtag Mind of Pink Elephant.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. And
then you can follow the hashtag.
You can follow the hashtag. And on Instagram, you can find her Instagram account where she puts some stuff there. But also, you have to go through all the
Samsonite suitcase?
Yep, that's her.
Oh, that's there okay. You go. So that's her account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's super cool. She does great art. And she's hireable. Yeah.
Hireable
and
desirable.
Yeah. Shout out to Sam.
You're really bad at this. You're so awful at this.
It's cool. She doesn't listen. Juicy Cogman, piss the world.
She's over here next to me. She's laying down.
Oh my god, you're so cute. Alright guys, we're going to do some Juicer Cogburn versus the world, where you guys are going to go head to head in the battle. Juicer Cogburn, you won last week, which puts you at a record of 14-8. So this week's game is called The Secret Lives of Pets. I'm going to name the movie. No, you named the movie based on the pet.
Okay,
so I'm going to tell you the pet you need in the movie. I'm going to give you the name and the type of animal it is.
Okay.
All right? Trying to help you out as much as I can. Okay. Drew, do you want Group A or Group B?
A.
All right, here we go. Group A, number one. Drew, name the movie based on the pet. Iago the Parrot.
Oh. Do I just... No. If he doesn't know the answer, do I just shut up?
No.
Yeah.
Is it Aladdin?
That is correct. Number two. Einstein the dog.
Back to the Future.
That's correct. Number three, Toothless the dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon.
That is correct. Number three, Doug the dog.
Are we still recording?
Yes.
Okay, just want to check in.
I don't know.
Doug the dog is from Up. That's the dog from Up.
Oh, you're right, Doug.
And finally, number five, Mr. Bigglesworth the cat.
Oh, Austin Powers.
That is correct. 4 out of 5. Well done. All right, Mark, it is now on you. I'm going to name the pet. You name the movie. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, Baxter. The dog.
That would be If I Am, starring Vivian Westwood and Chung Ao Ing.
Incorrect.
Anchorman?
That was Anchorman. Number two, Hedwig the Owl.
Hedwig the Owl was in I Don't Know the Way, featuring Samuel L. Jackson and Bronson Pinchot.
That is incorrect. That is from the Harry Potter series.
Ooh, and the Deathly Hallows.
Deathly Hallows, number three.
Yes.
Falcor the Flying
Never-ending story, bitch. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You threw that in there just because,
No, why?
No.
He could have picked B.
I could have.
That's random.
Yeah.
Number four.
Yeah.
Figaro the Cat.
Pinocchio.
Yeah. And number five, Dexter the Monkey.
All Aboard, starring Elvis Presley and Tina DeYoung.
Incorrect. That would be Night at the Museum.
Ooh.
Starring Ben Stiller.
And Dead Robin Williams.
And Dead Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And Tina DeYoung. You got 2 out of 5. Not bad.
That's pretty bad.
Not bad.
That's pretty bad.
But you lost. Yep. So Drewster Cogburn, who won, you're now 15-8.
Oh, right. Drewster Cogburn! I'm doing Iago!
Gilbert Gottfried
/ old Jewish lady.
Drewster!
Have you seen have you talked about the documentary?
The Aladdin documentary?
Iago the Man.
The Gilbert Gottfried documentary? Yeah. No.
Excuse me.
Is there?
It's on Netflix.
I have not, no.
Maybe.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it about him, how he lost his job with Affleck?
Affleck! I think that's mentioned, but it really shows how unlike
He has a stage persona, and then how he is in real life and all that. Yeah, but if most people know him by his stage persona, then isn't that the real him?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it is.
You can say that this is who I am in real life, but most people don't know you in quote real life, so then what is real life? It's what you put out there.
Well, it's his job to be a performer.
Yes.
So, are you your job?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
I think you are your job.
Just him, or is everybody
everyone,
their job?
I think everyone's their job.
I used to struggle with this, honestly, because when I did improv, I was real crazy on stage, real high energy, and then I would walk off, and I would talk.
Oh, sure,
and people would almost make fun of me. Like, they thought I was putting it on.
Yes. I get the same thing.
I never knew how to defend myself.
I get the same thing where when I hang out with people and I'm not doing a show, and then they're surprised by I don't talk that much. I'm like, well, yeah, we're not recording. What is all this wasted content?
So what's the real you?
Ah.
I think they're both. Yeah. You're Gilbert Gottfried.
Here we go. Yes. Exactly.
Who is Chris Crespo?
Perception is 9/10 of reality.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
So, Vivian Westwood, I said that because I am on Instagram during the show because I'm rude. go to on Instagram, Hamish Bowles, HamishBowles. She is the woman who curated the Met Gala, the quote-unquote Met Gala for Ocean's 8.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
So she's the woman who picked out all these dresses.
Oh, all right, there you go.
And one of them, I mean, she went, they're not modern. Like, one of them was a 1995 Vivian Westwood.
It's the whole thing. It all plays on the fact that they're doing some sort of, like, 19th century English royalty display that's like, we can use this to justify or a heist, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's part of it, yeah.
And I find this interesting. It's behind the scenes because, as a straight guy, you'd walk in and, oh, yeah, those clothes.
Sure.
But you never guess that there's a lady who knows, like, each one is from an actual collection that they just pulled, and there's a reason she pulled. And then
there's, a theme that ties all the dresses together. Yeah.
And she has the Instagram account of each designer, so you can, learn about the designers.
Well, his name is Hamish? Hamish?
Hamish Bowles. Not Bowles, but Bowl. Hamish Bowles.
Hamish Bowles.
It's probably, yeah.
That sounds
She's
cool.
She's real pretty.
And we got lady listeners.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Well, it is, because the costume design is a very integral part to movie making. And this movie, not only is everyone looks amazing, they're all dressed impeccable, but then there's also the added thing of at the Met Gala, it's people walking around looking
to the nines,
super dressed, and then the dress is on display. Well,
I don't know why I'm so. These are dresses that already exist. She didn't design them.
Right, yeah. But
she went into collections.
As a production designer,
curated,
she found them. Yeah.
I just think that's fascinating.
That is pretty fascinating, yeah. It's amazing.
Maybe in 30 minutes I'll be like, why was I talking about this? Nobody cares.
But the people care now. In 30 minutes, they don't care, but they care now.
Okay, well, that hurt me. All right, go on. Move on. Topic number four.
Topic number four is... This weekend... No.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Billy the Aesthetic Movies.
There's
here we go.
Again. Heavy.
You can't use your phone. Why use your phone?
So
if your battery's dying.
Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Oh.
What? Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right. It is time for Billy D's the movies. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and one of my best friends. And he hits us up every week, almost every week, with a an email that Juicy Kyburn reads. Juicy Kyburn, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Bill?
I had a good week up here in NYC. I committed to one of my gaming blind spots and have decided to try and beat Dark Souls. Good luck.
Was that a game of some sort?
Yeah. It's a game where...
It's a game!
95% of the time, you die. Like, you're just going,
that's
you're
going...
That's
a description of the game? Welcome to the game where 95%
well, here's the thing.
Of the time, you die.
The villains are... Even, like, the weakest bad guy can kill you almost immediately.
Oh, okay, cool.
And there are very few save points, and they are spawn... Throughout the game,
okay,
but like very far down the road,
hard game.
So yeah, okay. It's if you're a glutton for punishment, you play Dark Souls.
Good luck, Billy D.
I'm not sure why I want to beat Dark Souls. It's a pretty unrelenting experience so far. I think it's because I miss really challenging gaming experiences. I can go months without dying in Destiny or Skyrim. Dark Souls is a game where you are given the bare minimum to survive. Even the most average of Dark Souls enemy can kill you easily. So much death.
All right.
I also caught a couple movies at home.
Oh, we still saw movies.
We're trying to move soon, so I gotta trim back on the entertainment budget.
He's gonna move from Oregon Avenue? What? Legendary. Fort Awesome?
Being burned
down by the Canadians? War of 2012?
I rented Unsane on Google Play.
Unsane, remember this one, the Steven Soderbergh iPhone movie?
I do.
Yeah.
I decided against seeing it in theaters because it's shot on an iPhone. I've worked film festivals. I know what iPhone footage looks like that large. I can't say I didn't love this movie. And not for the reasons I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the feature on an iPhone gimmick was unnecessary, but I thought that the iPhone did lend itself to an interesting look, visual look for some of the film. I didn't think it needed to be entirely shot on an iPhone, because the visual distortion added a disorienting feel to scenes that didn't need it. It's one of the reasons I've never loved iPhone shot films. Different focal lengths and apertures mean things to your brain and eyeballs. Super wide-angle lenses, like those on mobile phones, are very isolating to the subject and add distortion to every shot. Even when you fix it in post, it's still noticeable. Some of the first act, though, was great and disorienting, and a semi-fisheye look of the phone worked in those scenes. That's not what I disliked. I thought it just fell apart on a story level halfway through. It tipped its hand too early and just felt silly and small when it was over. Maybe I'm being too hard on it, but it's a Steven Soderbergh film. The guy is no slouch. I've generally liked his films, and I've not loved his output since his quote-unquote retirement. I also saw a disaster piece of 80s horror called Demon Wind.
Demon Wind?
Holy...
That sounds like a fart. An evil fart.
Holy hell, this is the new Troll 2. Loved every second of this. A kid is haunted by the death of his grandparents years after they passed and returns to their property with some friends to find out the truth of what happened. This movie isn't so much a movie as it is scenes that collide into each other and don't really make any sense. And I say that in the best possible way. Must see for fans of Evil Dead, Troll 2, and Great Bad Movies. Stay cool, Billy D.
Oh man, I should have had that ice and milkshake last night.
Some demon wind for you there, Chris.
Give me the demon wind. Oh, God. Thank God I'm on a podcast willing to talk about farts and shitting because there's not enough podcasts for me.
You forgot to talk about your dick.
Oh, my dick! I farted out of my dick! That demon wind comes out of any orifice and chooses to. That's why it's a demon wind. You think it comes out of the butt, but it actually... Oh, wow, why'd you have to mention that? Just a cockroach. No, that's not good. Oh, boy.
Why? Because I want to be the first podcast that's brave enough to talk about penises.
Oh!
Demon wind.
Demon wind. That needs an echo. Oh, no, you stopped.
Demon wind. Wait a minute.
Demon wind.
That didn't work as a good. There's too many options. 99 different options, and you know, it's hard to choose the right one.
But a
right
bitch ain't
one. Aye, Jay-Z. Thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. You can follow him on the Twitters. That's I Love Blood, as well as Instagram and all that. Also, he's got the Billy D. Snaps.
And Billy D. takes pictures.
Look, I just follow him online. True.
He just walks around doing this.
He thinks he's in,
what's that story?
Was that racist?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, time to jump into the movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, time for the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crest Media Movie News segment, in which we talk about how Ben Affleck was seen with Jennifer Garner as they were raising their children together. Unbelievable, but first we need a Justin Bieber update. Mark, what is up with the Biebs?
Justin Bieber was spotted at Christian Club Bloodsport with a woman who apparently is known as his health advisor.
Ooh.
Now, originally, mm-hmm. he had gone to her. Mm-hmm. She's helped several celebrities get healthy with God.
Oh, yes, that sounds familiar.
But hands were a flying and tongues were a flapping.
What?
In the club, there was open mouth kissing.
We've got photos.
We're going to put them up on your website.
Yes.
So he's a parent. Now, she is 69 years old.
Top, 69.
But yeah. A rumor is spread that he does like older women. Selena Gomez is quoted as saying, ew. She commented on the photo that he put on Instagram with the ew. And I think we're all kind of questioning, you know, where is he going? He's covered his body in tattoos. He
terrible tattoos.
With one of the most famous young women. And now he's dating a 69-year-old food expert.
And going to church.
And get me to the church on time. That's what I got.
All right, that's your Biebs update. Thank you, Mark. Perfect. That's exactly what we're looking for here on Cinema Crespi. So the importance of that cannot be understated. Drew, before we do movie newsy stuff, we got to do the most important of the movie news. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Time for This Week in Rape Culture. That's right. Time for This Week in Rape Culture. John Lasseter, the man-child behind such Pixar hits as Toy Story and, yeah, pretty much all of them. He's also responsible for Cars, though, so we can blame him for that. Anyway, John Lasseter, grade-A creepo, really good at making women feel uncomfortable all around him at all times.
I mean, look at the pictures. Just look at the man.
Yeah, he's also a gross-looking dude. When his two best friends who kept him in check both died right around the same time, one of them being Steve Jobs, he became unleashed, and it was really bad, and he got ousted from this. Well, he left a sabbatical for unwanted hugs, is what he called it.
Yeah, yeah.
Unwanted
mouth hugs.
Unwanted mouth hugs. My penises is what he should have said. And, he took a 6-month sabbatical. The 6 months were up. Disney hadn't made a decision. They didn't do anything. So a Twitter campaign started called hashtag Lose Lasseter.
It worked.
And it wasn't just like random people. This wasn't just outraged moms in Wisconsin. Lose Lasseter was being produced or done by people in the industry. Actual artists, actual animators, people who worked at Disney were like, we can't work. If you're going to bring this guy back, we can't work here. It's just wrong. And it worked. Lasseter offered his resignation, made it easier for Disney. Or maybe it was one of those things where, like, you will tender your resignation tomorrow. And so he's gone. Lasseter is out. So Cars 4 not happening anytime soon.
Sweet.
Sorry, guys.
I'm cool with that.
Speaking of legal proceedings and sequels, Tobin Bell is the guy who played Jigsaw in the Saw movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's going through a divorce. The reason why I bring this up is because it's the Cinema Crespo Lisa movie news segment, and we talk about celebrity divorces. Now, don't we... Oh, Nana, where are you going, Nana?
She doesn't want to hear about the divorce.
She doesn't want to hear about Tobin Bell's divorce.
This is trash.
The interesting thing about Tobin Bell's divorce is that part of the listings of his
assets,
proceeds to be made from Saw 9. Uh-oh, was right. Saw 9, is possibly here. Drew. And the way we find out about it is this guy's divorce.
Shitty.
That's pretty funny.
It's hilarious.
I think it's pretty funny.
Not that I care about the movie or have seen a single Saw at all, so...
You haven't seen the single Saw at all?
No.
You haven't... There's not a Saw that you've seen?
Not a single.
You haven't seen a single Saw?
At all.
If I showed you a Saw, would you see it? You would not have seen it.
I would not have seen it.
Mark, is there a single Saw that you've ever seen?
At all?
I've seen the Saw on a seesaw.
You've seen the seesaw?
No, I've seen the Saw while watching it. I had it on my phone, so I saw the Saw.
He saw Saw while he was seesawing.
You saw Saw on a seesaw with your Samsung.
Yeah, and afterwards I watched Better Call Saul. So I saw Better Call Saul.
Don't you get me on
Saw
that.
Saw on a
don't,
seesaw.
Don't you get me started on that Better Call
the
Saul.
The seesaw was on a cruise ship, so I was on...
On the sea? You're on the sea. You're on the high seas seesaw, watching Saw, and then Better
Call
Saul. Well,
no, where he saw Saul.
Where he saw Saul.
And Better Call Saul.
On the seesaw.
Yeah.
In the high seas. Good job. Willy Wonka.
Donald Glover
is in the running. People running with that Donald Glover as Willy Wonka story, Drew.
No, in the running.
He's in the running.
I know.
You know what the other two are? You don't know?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard about this at all, Mark?
No.
The Willy Wonka remake.
I just know that they're...
They just made it like 5 years ago.
Yeah, but
it wasn't
terrible.
Very... It was not
terrible.
Good.
So we're going to do it again. Yeah. News media running with Donald Glover in the running for Willy Wonka because he's...
Some of them are straight up saying that he is Willy
that
Wonka.
That he is Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
He is possibly... He may be Willy Wonka.
He could be. I think it'd be a good fit.
It could also be maybe Ezra Miller.
Okay.
The guy who was the Flash in the most recent movies. He was in We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a funny Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
A Jewish Willy Wonka. Ryan Gosling in the running for possibly Willy Wonka.
No.
He did that old song and dance thing with La La Land. He was looking at his feet while he danced.
No.
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 No. I think this is a Jim Carrey. It's like Jim Carrey 20 years ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because Gene Wilder, the reason it was so good is because that was Gene Wilder's moves, Gene Wilder's decisions, Gene Wilder's acting choices.
He made Willy Wonka, at least in that movie, what it was.
They gave him the opportunity to so we need someone like that who can come in and make that movie his own.
And bring something to it, not just take what's written on the page. I do feel like Ryan Gosling is the type of guy who takes what's on the page.
Yes.
Otherwise, he's just going to stand there and like stare at you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Drive Style.
Willy Wonka is not a silent character.
So, probably...
You know what I would like it if it was a woman? Just like Ocean's 8.
Cool.
Let's call it Willis... Wilma Wonka.
Wilma Wonka, played by Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Isn't she a movie killer?
She's just careening around. It depends on the movie. I can see her careening around a chocolate factory like a cannonball.
Her rule is she cannot do a Midwest housewife accent.
No
more in any movies. If I was directing, it would be in the contract. You have to pick another character.
You got to do a New York Jew lady.
Wouldn't you like to see old Jim Carrey, just crazy old Jim Carrey, play that role?
You mean current Jim Carrey
playing this role?
I would love to see that.
He's manic and weird enough that it'll be a beautiful thing, that I think. Under the right direction, in the right movie.
You stole fizzy lifting drink!
exactly.
Yeah, but he's so like, ugh. Yeah. I would love to see that. But it's probably going to be Donald Glover. So. Speaking of Donald Glover, Atlanta Season 3 greenlit on FX. So there we go. That is happening for sure. Drew Sterkog, we're in time for... What do we got left? Oh, yeah. The Vox Populi.
That VP.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox
Populi.
Vox Populi.
What you say?
All right, enough for that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the Vox Populi, where we talk. It's the voice of the people, the segment of the people. You hit us up, cinemacrispy@gmail.com, which is a cover.
We got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got Hotel Artemis, Ocean's 8, and Hereditary reviews for us. All right,
a trio of reviews.
Hotel Artemis.
Hotel Artemis.
I talked Dad into going to see this one with
me. You talked Dad into seeing the violent one.
I told him, remember the John Wick Hotel? Well, now it's a hospital. That's all it took. A movie that wasn't on his radar at all, suddenly he was down for it. Jodie Foster was fucking great. Just like Lance Riddick and Wick, Foster commands a true presence as the boss of this underworld facility, but in a very different way. She's old, a bit quirky, and she definitely doesn't have the infrastructure behind her. But she's capable, determined, and with Dave Bautista by her side, the two make one hell of a pair of protagonists. Mm. These two, their chemistry, they make the movie.
Okay.
I also really liked that the Artemis was only 5 rooms at the penthouse suite of the hotel. It kept the cast small and manageable, and not dozens of criminal fucks gumming up the works, though dozens of criminal fucks do eventually gum up the works, but it's all done very well.
Hmm.
Nits, apart from the super dope laser scalpel and eye implant plot device, why did this movie even need to be set in a dystopian 2028 future?
Ah.
This could have easily been done present day without those sci-fi techs. Anyway, Dad loved it, as did I. 3.5 stars.
All right, good movie to see with Dad. Hotel Artemis. All right, what else? Scott also had Hereditary?
Ocean's 8.
Ocean's 8, that's what I said.
I saw 11. I think I saw it again on cable at some point. I think I saw 12 once. I'm fairly certain that I never saw 13 because the death of Danny Ocean seemed new to me.
Mm.
My point is, I've never been invested in the whole Ocean's franchise at all. Though I really do enjoy heist flicks. And so, while I'm not in any way one of those misogynist bros who views an all-female reboot as a personal affront to my childhood, I just didn't feel this movie. What little I remember of the original, I remember it more fondly with Clooney and Pitt. There was a sense of charm that Bullock and Blanchett never captured, and the supporting cast was fine, but it seemed like their heist came off too easy. Honestly, my favorite part was James Corden coming in at the end as the insurance investigator. I know I'm bleeding all my I'm not misogynist cred by saying that the man who was sent in to nail all these women for their heist was the best part of the movie, but yeah, 2 stars.
It's funny. I don't even like James Corden. I actually liked his role in it. I thought it was good. Did you like James Corden in that?
It was alright.
I thought it was fine.
Hereditary. My theater experience was hampered by one asshole who refused to move from his squeaky seat, but also by multiple other assholes who, after one guy spent the first 30 minutes coughing his lungs out, they all seemed to feel it was perfectly fine for themselves to cough their way through a movie that is so heavily reliant on silence and mood, and humans are the worst and are killing the cinematic experience. I'm gonna have to agree with you, Scott.
We're gonna mention this. Yes.
Two of the three movies that I saw this weekend, I was stuck next to people who, after they reclined their seats, immediately took off their shoes.
Ew.
It's the new thing, Mark, at movie theaters. People just take off their shoes right next to you. I had a couple do it next to me, a man and a woman, and a man do it next to me yesterday.
Movie theaters are now starting to smell like popcorn and feet.
Yep. It is. Foul.
Yeah, it's bad. These people should be ashamed.
Complain to the manager.
I think the next time it happens, I might actually look over at them and be like, "Excuse me, your feet fucking stink. Could you please put your shoes
back
on?
Put your socks on. Do something. This is gross.
It's gross.
You're elevating your feet to my nose length.
Disgusting.
Anyways, holy fuck, I do love a good suspense film, and this one sent so many shivers up my spine. Toni Collette is spectacular. And very least worthy of Oscar consideration. And the girl who played Charlie, amazing. Such a haunting performance. Am I being a dick to say that she kind of reminded me of Jason Clarke? I guess a little bit in the face.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the nose.
I think they did some makeup to her.
I think so. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I saw someone on Twitter liken Hereditary to The Witch. And I get that comparison.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking a little bit.
But whereas I really loved The Witch and how it ended, I found the ending of this movie to be kind of dumb. I really hated the final scene, though not enough to erase all the awesomeness from the rest of the movie. 3 stars. Take care, guys. Scott.
All right, there we go. We appreciate it, Scott. Sounds like overall he likes what he saw this weekend. Pretty good movie going weekend between those three, aside from the Ocean's 8 falling just a little flat, but that's happened to us too, I guess, as well.
And we got some questions from Ron.
What is up, Ron?
Crispo don't battle.
Crispo don't battle.
Tilda Swinton versus Toni Collette.
Oh boy, Mark, here we go. This is how we do the Crest Widow battle. Two people enter, one person leaves. We figure out who is the better actor, and then who would win in the fight. So our options are Tilda Swinton and Toni Collette, just in Hereditary. Who is the better actress?
I've already got both my answers.
Do you have to, like, support it with facts?
It would help.
I mean, opinion is good enough.
Opinion helps. Just give me some opinions. What do you think? Tilda Swinton, Toni Collette, who is the better actress?
God, they're both amazing.
I kind of feel like they're equal, man. That's a tough one.
They're...
They both do their own thing. I mean, Toni Collette will probably... She gets snubbed more because of, you know, she was on TV for so long.
Sure.
As opposed to Tilda Swinton, who's been very much
mostly movies.
A film actress.
Sure, yeah, yeah. That's what you're saying.
So,
I think...
Just with range, I mean, in, the United States of Terra?
Yeah.
Toni Collette played how many different fucking characters
because
in that show?
Because she has a schizophrenic of some sort or something like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, it's true.
She ran the gamut.
She really got an opportunity to show off a lot of different...
Mm-hmm. And I give her props for that.
Okay.
But! I'm a bigger fan of Tilda Swinton. Sorry.
So you're going Tilda Swinton? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mark, based on that, what do you think?
Well, I think that Toni Collette chose not to have sex with that man, any man in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So much like the redneck country singing family who had the one daughter who was pretty, who didn't get the role in Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
Ashley Judd. That who were we talking about?
Toni Collette.
Toni Collette. She was having a moment, and then she just disappeared. Am I wrong?
Yeah, sort of.
So I think that's what happened. She got Me Too'd, and I'm saying that seriously.
After hearing about
these wonderful actresses who literally disappeared.
I think about that now. Yes, anytime I think, oh, whatever happened to that person? Oh, yeah, they totally
Wouldn't S the D. They have integrity. So I think we haven't seen a lot of her in film. I think probably in my mind, if you're doing TV, that means you're not doing movies anymore.
Sure.
I don't know if that's true, but, there is a mystique around the other one.
Yes.
There is a mystique.
Because she's like an old school sort of like, who is this person?
She's not, Lindsay low hanging her vagina as she steps out of Cars like it's 2005.
Yeah.
So... Just because he voted for the one, Swinton. I'm going to vote for the other
Collette.
One. Oh, I can't remember.
You're leaving it up to me. Oh, man, that means I'm going to flip a coin. You got a coin? I don't have a coin.
Nope.
I'll flip a coin on my brain. It came up heads.
Which one was heads?
Oh, shit. I forgot to pick. All right, I'm going to pick. All right, now I'll flip a coin on my head.
All right, how about this? I'll pick the heads or tails.
Yeah, why don't you pick the heads?
You tell me when it comes up.
Okay.
I've already picked. Hang on. I'll whisper it to Mark so he knows that there's verification.
Okay, all right. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
I flipped the corner of my head. It's flipping in the air, and it lands perfectly on its side. What does that mean? Wait, no. It's tails.
Does that mean it's Toni Collette?
Margo Kidder.
Yay, Margo Kidder.
Drop that duck a duck. Hey, don't drop that duck a duck.
Who would win in a fight?
I'm going
Toni Collette.
Tilda Swinton.
I'm going Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
She's got length and those crazy eyes, everything. You've seen her movies.
She seems like she...
She's skinny, but she's like...
Wire
vicious.
Raw.
Yes.
Like,
vicious.
Like Bruce Lee, wiry, like all compact muscle.
Yeah.
Toni Collette feels like she's Australian, so she's from a land down under where everything wants to kill you. Giant flying foxes and shit. But Tilda Swinton... she's from like Mars?
I think so, yeah. Pretty sure.
She'll hit you with that Venus kung fu.
She's like, karate chops to a weighted pillow, you know?
I mean, she might
be... weighted pillow would stay for a
check
while.
Check out Justin Timberlake.
She might actually be a vampire, Chris.
That's possible. She was a vampire in a movie. She could be a vampire for real. I dropped water on my soundboard.
What's the name of the movie that she was just in where it was the anime?
She did, because on Netflix it pops up. She did Okja, and then she also did Snowpiercer, the same director.
That's right. It was a Netflix movie.
Okja was on Netflix, yes.
That's why I saw it.
Also, we got two more questions from Ron.
What's up, Ron? What else you got, Ron?
What's everyone having for dinner?
Oh, man, probably cold leftover pizza. What do you got, Drew?
I'm... somewhere between TGA Fridays frozen appetizers from Publix.
Okay.
That were buy one, get one.
Okay.
Or Mary Callender's chili pot pie.
All right, Mark, what are you having for dinner?
Bull and Bear at the Waldorf Astoria. So,
oh my God.
I don't know. I was feeling casual tonight.
That sounds great.
That sounds great.
No, I'm going to have, I have a box of Publix pasta, and I have to go buy a can of Target tuna.
There you go.
And I have some what do you call it, tomato Italian sauce.
Yeah.
And I mix them all together, and that's what I eat.
Tuna pasta?
Pasta tuna vore.
Pasta tuna. Pasta tuna vore. That's my favorite
and
Dean Martin song.
And last but certainly not least, Chris.
It's another question?
Yeah. Do you sleep naked?
Whoa, he wants to know if I sleep naked. I sleep with in my boxers. What about you, Drew?
Yep, boxers.
Boxers. Mark, do you sleep naked?
No, I sleep with a t-shirt on. It needs to be, you know those coats that you put, thunder coats? Because
yeah.
They're real tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am like a greyhound. I wear a too tight t-shirt. And then I have the underwear that goes down to like your mid-thigh.
There you go.
And then I wrap myself in sheets.
So you're like a mummy.
Like a burrito.
I sleep, yeah, I'm a burrito baby.
Yeah. Mark the burrito baby.
Like a big gay burrito.
A big delicious gay burrito baby. That's how you sleep at night, Ron.
How do you sleep at night, Ron? You didn't tell us.
No, he didn't.
He's gonna tell us about that now.
Now we're gonna get
a poem that's gonna end all poems. Is that it from Ron?
That's everything.
That's from the Vox Populi.
That is the entire Vox Populus.
Well, then here we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Here we go, Mark. I have 10 questions and I need 10 answers. Are you
Someone's
ready?
Someone's leaving the room. Is the show over?
Yeah, he's already packing
Getting
up.
He's
got to go.
Okay. I know what's going on here.
He's like,
should
you remember,
I leave?
No, remember when you were in school?
Yeah.
And like, you knew class got out at 3, so at 2:55 you start putting your books away.
Oh, okay.
Once the lightning round comes around, I know we're getting to the end.
And at 2:59, like, you're like halfway
Pavlovian.
Out of your seat.
Yeah. Pavlovian.
Yeah, he's just trying to get out of here. Lightning round, I got 10 questions and 10 answers. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Drew, set the clock.
So am I supposed to really answer these questions?
Please, yes. Okay. As real as you can. Drew, set the clock. Whenever you're ready.
Go.
Number one, you ever watch Fixer Upper?
Yeah.
Number two, do they sell...
These are the questions?
Yes. Number two, do they sell overstock goods at overstock.com?
They do, but they also sell new goods.
Number three, teriyaki chicken or General Tso's?
Teriyaki chicken, I don't know what General Tso's is, and if it has oranges in it, that's gross.
Number four, you got that spice?
Yeah.
Number five, is this the end?
The end is yes.
Number six, do you want to end this lightning round early?
No.
Number seven, what do you think of Waco, Texas?
Oh, I went there when I was an actor, and they put us in the rehearsal room was the store next door to the theater, and it was a closed clothing store, and there were still clothes in the clothing store, and it was gross.
That is gross.
Yeah, it was a really cheap tour.
Oh, my God. Number eight, what's up with the Paramount Network?
Is that like BET?
It just started. I noticed that. What the hell? Where did that come from?
Is that real? Paramount Network?
Like, yeah, real thing, Paramount, yeah. Like the movie company. They have their own TV channel now.
Is it a news channel?
No, it's movies.
Spike.
Oh, it is? It's old Spike? Interesting.
Remember when Spike was TNN?
This Vaguely. Is just cable.
It's a cable
throwing.
It's just a cable.
Well, yeah, but they're doing like movies, and I think I saw.
They did a show about Waco.
Yeah, I about to say, I thought I saw something about original programming.
Original programming. Number nine, have you heard of Audience Television?
No.
That's a channel that's on ATT Universe. And finally, number 10.
Is it just you turn it on and there's an audience watching you?
No, they have like channels and stuff.
Great idea.
That is a great idea, though. To be my own show? Yeah.
Just they're just staring and watching you.
Yeah. I'm into that.
I mean, and every once in a while they laugh.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa.
No, they have to laugh at your jokes. It has to be live.
Well, it'll prompt you. It's much like karaoke. It'll
say, there you go.
Joke coming up in 3, 2, 1, and you got to say something.
And then, yes, and then you get the laughter. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a great idea. We're going to start that channel. Number 10. Is there too much content?
by design.
Ah, there you go. PFTmedia.com. Check out all that stuff we got going on over there. Drew Sakagra, we got swag baggeries. We have cyan and teal.
Cyan and cobalt.
And that's correct. Which one do you want, Mark?
Cyan.
Yeah. Drew Sakagra, and get that one out of here. Break open that bag. Let's see what maybe Mark might go home with today.
Sir, you may get to go home with a Hot Wheels new for 2017. What the hell is this? HW ride on? I don't understand. It looks like you're supposed to put a little Lego man inside
there.
Yeah,
get a little Lego man
there.
But it
doesn't come with a Lego
man.
No,
man, provide your own Lego man. BYO Lego man.
Interesting.
All right.
That's kind of weird. We've got some play handcuffs.
Yeah.
So if you want to have, some strange, freaky sex with them, have fun with that.
There's nothing strange about handcuffs, baby.
Not strange about freaky sex either.
Oh, we got a patriotic dancing solar character. He can watch you have that freaky sex.
Yeah, and dance while you're doing it.
And dance while you're doing it.
Yeah. He's like, there's this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and we got a pop glow, low bounce ball. Hit the ground till the ball lights.
It's a light-up bounce ball. You hit the ball until the ball light by the ground until the ball lights.
Oh. So it's a regular ball until it hits the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something inside.
Something inside that breaks, gotcha. And there you go.
And there's a whole bunch of stickers in there.
I'll take that to the rave.
There you go. A bunch of stickers in there. Okay, there you go. Mark, you can take that bag home, or we put that bag away and instead you take what's in the box. You know how this goes.
Box.
You want the box. Get that bag out of here.
Do I open it myself?
Pop that top. Reach inside. Let us know what's in there.
Oh, shit. All right. It looks like wood, but it's ceramics. In the middle is an American flag with 6 stars. It says faith, family, friends, and freedom.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
That is truly American.
Look at that. That's America for you.
Yep.
That's nice.
With 6 stars.
This is America. This is really...
And you know what?
That is a kitchen knick-knack. Yeah.
I do like how the star on the flag is inverted.
It's an inverted star.
Oh,
it's
is that a Jewish star?
No, that's satanic.
It's a satanic because it's 5 points.
And it's upside down.
So it's a goat head.
Like there's even little screws to make it look like wood.
Yeah, like it was originally part of something else.
Handmade.
Yeah. Fake handmade.
It was hand broken off of something else.
Oh, that's nice. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate you, buddy.
Average retail value,
$1.
$1. Looks like a lot more.
There you go. Thank you, Jessica Edward.
Very welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading, listening. We appreciate it. Break up the big banks, be excellent to each other, read more books, and free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.